Hey, are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, ready, right? Me and you? Everybody?
Great. I'm ready.
What? Ready for what?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey guys, I just found the most amazing thing online. It's about a 2-minute clip of Megan Fox. She's completely naked, reclining on a couch, and she's f***ing herself. Yeah, just download that puppy, put her on loop, and enjoy. The website address is
www.giantfemalegenitals. So that's nice for everybody.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Oh, I've got a confession for you, foxy lady. I think you're a foxy lady.
And now, when I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
Our feature presentation.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That's one of the all-time greats right there. Yeah, that was awesome.
Proud moment. So there's people outside.
Yes. Yeah, what's that deal?
With signs. Well, it's the Twilight Group.
Mm-hmm. The Twitards.
The Twitards. And we have Robert Pattinson on the program today. But we said we were careful yesterday 200 times to say that we have him on the phone. He's on the phone.
Yeah.
We made that clear. We made no secret of that fact, right?
And the reason is because we know people are excited. We don't want to, you know, even waste their time to come down and think they're going to see him when they're not. So Just tell him up front he's not going to be here. Still people outside. And then everybody that walked in, Psycho Mike walked in, he told him on the phone. That was about what, 3:45?
3:45, 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. 4 in the morning. And then, various other ones of us, as we arrived, they would say, is he coming in? And we would go, no, he's on the phone. Next person. Nope, on the phone. Next person. On the phone. Still there.
Why do they say they're still waiting if they know he's not going to be here?
I don't know. I think maybe the only thing that I could imagine is that they think that we're lying to protect, so they won't wait around. And then
told him they were going to be, that he was going to be on Good Day LA.
So right.
He's in New York.
No, not Good Day LA. The other
I
one.
Mean, what's
the Today Show?
The Today Show. Show in New York. So
if they did Good Day LA in New York, that'd be cool.
That would be weird. but then they said to me, I was one of the last ones in, and they said, but we've gotten to see everyone from the morning show. So,
but that's a somber disappointment compared to your boyfriend from Twilight, though.
I like one of the signs, Edward, don't bite me.
Wow.
Yeah.
But don't they really want to be bitten?
And the cutout of Edward.
Yeah.
They're also called fanpires, I heard yesterday. They're called fanpires.
Wow. You want to talk to the fanpires that are outside?
And they're called twerds. They have more names than anything I've ever seen before. Yeah, you got one?
Hello? Hey, Allison, you're one of the people that's out in front of the gate?
We just left right now, yes.
You just left.
That was me.
Okay.
And my cousin Mary.
Okay.
We had a cutout Edward Cullen.
You sure did.
It was 6 foot tall, yes.
Yeah.
But is it Jacob way better?
Jacob? No, not Jacob. Jacob is an idiot and a werewolf.
Jacob rules.
Are you kidding? Jacob's the only thing that makes that movie worth seeing.
Jacob is a fag.
He's a Jacob is a stud, is what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he could wipe his ass with Edward.
No, he can't.
Now, did you think he was coming in today?
Yes, we did think he was coming in today.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, we tried yesterday to say he was on the phone as many times as we could.
Sorry, we're a little slow.
Yeah.
We're listening to him on FM because Kiss FM got him to come in.
Yeah, don't care. Kiss FM is also throwing a purse party, so.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Enjoy.
Plus, he and Ryan probably share hair products. Have you seen that dude? You seen that dude's hair, that Robin Pattinson's hair? What is he trying to do with that?
They won't let him cut it either, the movie company.
It's sexy, Allison says.
Oh, it's sexy. I thought it was just retarded.
Did you see our shirts?
There was a lot to take in with you guys. There were signs. And I didn't see your shirt, no.
Said Edward, Zilf.
Zilf.
Oh, Vilf.
Like, Vilf.
See the comedy she did
see?
There? How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
One, huh?
Well, you got what you deserved by coming down today, Allison.
I know. I'm sorry.
Just big fat nothing. All right.
Exactly.
Have fun this weekend.
Jacob rules.
Can you get us some acoustic Christmas tickets?
Yeah.
Oh, can't hear you. You're breaking up. Cell phone.
Oh, please. That thing's free.
Listen. to do that. We can't because we're cutting out.
Come on.
Bye, Allison.
No way at all. Okay, bye.
Wow.
Come
That's
on.
Weird. I don't mind people that are that passionate about something, but I mean, he did get told 15 times this morning that he wasn't coming in, but yeah.
Right. By the way, if you want to call about Twilight or anything, you can, 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. In about a minute, we're going to do Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, as we do each day at this time. I didn't have time to bring this up yesterday because we had Dwan on the phone, and that takes precedence over everything.
Sure.
But we haven't mentioned much the pirates that are going crazy right now. They have, I think they have 8 boats right now that they are holding. These are Somali pirates who are basically just doing what pirates have always done, which is out there in the seas and just capturing and boarding ships. And one of them is this Saudi Arabian super tanker that's got $100 million worth of oil on it, and they're holding it for ransom. They got armed guys on the boat saying, yeah, we'll give you your boat and your oil back when you give us $10 million. It's so amazing in 2008 that you can do it. And yesterday was a big – I mean, there was an actual battle yesterday between the Indian Navy and one of the pirate ships got sunk.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's for reals. It's Pirates of the Caribbean 2008. It's happening right now. And the reason I bring it up because, A, it's fascinating to me that these people exist. There's somebody whose job it is to wake up today and be a pirate and go out there and rob ships, right? And two, when was the last time you heard of a ninja taking over a ship, mother effer?
Because they don't
get...
That's the dumbest thing
I've ever heard.
When was the last time a ninja created this kind of havoc? Oh, ninjas are just home asleep in their bed while the pirates are out there doing all the work in the world.
Ninjas have ethics and morals. They don't take over ships and hold them for ransom.
Exactly.
They're out fighting crime. They're going to probably hire ninjas to go on this ship to get it back for the good people. Not the bad people.
Because the pirates are doing it all, man. They're taking what they want. The
pirates.
Ninjas just laying there waiting for somebody to drop it off out in front of their house because they don't want to walk outside in their bare feet and get stuck in the prickles.
Pirates, by definition, are people who are on ships that take over stuff.
If I was just going to
say ninjas, not really the same definition. Right. They're killing machines.
When was the last time a ninja did anything, is what I'm saying.
Well, you'll never know because they do it so fast that you can't, the human eye can't see it.
Or they do nothing because they're lame and because pirates rule on every count. That's what I'm saying. The battle, as far as I'm concerned, once again, for the 200th year in a row, has been settled that pirates are way better than ninjas.
The bottom line, the fact that there are Somali pirates doesn't bode well for you. Somalia is like the most decimated country in the world. There can never be Somalian ninjas.
Not for those pirates.
Of course not.
It's not. Those pirates have millions of dollars.
Ninjas
are walking around in their pajamas all day.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Wow. You have a deep misunderstanding of what's going on, my friend.
Sure do.
Well, I read the news, man, and I see that it's all about the pirates, and there's no ninjas doing anything interesting, that's for sure.
It is awesome to me that there are actual pirates, and they're actually doing piratey stuff.
Yes.
It is cool.
That is awesome.
And it does make you wonder if they're really going for it. Do they have a guy with a peg leg? Do they have a bird? I mean, are they wearing the scarves? What are they doing?
I'm guessing they're not trying to recreate that.
Probably don't have peg legs.
No. I'm guessing not. But walk the plank, all that stuff. I don't know. Yeah. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
We have room for your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067, and we do have valuable prizes to give you. There is no paperwork provided to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, but we're assuming that once again it's the latest Warren Miller movie, and once again it's tickets to the L.A. Ski Dazzle coming to the convention center. That's what we're assuming you're going to get in, unless you're here otherwise. That's your prize for getting on the air this morning.
All right, let's begin with Ashley in Riverside. Good morning, Ashley.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
What's going on?
I'm in Riverside. I work at a theater out here, and all of the theaters around us, all of the pre-sale tickets have basically sold out. We mm-hmm. get usually 2 prints for each theater. Our theater, let alone, I think by Monday, had sold over like 200 tickets. Like, it's ridiculous out here.
Awesome. Well, you know, what else is there to do in Riverside, first of all?
Yeah, good point. I know.
There's really nothing. I mean, I got a special sneak preview of it. One of our managers built it up for me because I am a total and complete Twilight nerd. But, I mean, the movie's absolutely amazing. I know it's kind of, you know. You can't. Oh, come on. It's
no.
Just don't listen to him. He hasn't read the books.
No,
he doesn't.
It's amazing because you wanted it to be amazing because you love that world. I bet it's not really amazing.
No, it might be amazing. Romeo and Juliet meets Interview with a Vampire. It's really good.
I'm excited.
It's really good.
But Jacob rules, right?
No, I can't.
I didn't get that one.
Just try to shut her up. Let's move on. See, the thing for me about Twilight is, is it a grown-up, like, lust thing? That's what vampires are about.
It's a G-rated movie.
That's my problem.
Or a PG-rated movie, I guess.
Vampires, to me, are lust and sex and sexy. And
yeah.
It's not... Romantic is not really the draw for me.
It may not be for you. That's true.
But I love vampires, so do I go or not?
I don't know.
All right, let's go to Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
In La Mirada. Good morning, Eric.
Kevin and Bean.
What's up?
Lisa.
Good morning.
How you doing? Hey, did you guys see South Park last night?
I taped it. I haven't watched it yet.
They already tore up the vampires.
Yes!
They did. They're prophets, those guys.
Awesome.
who and what was the vampire?
Well, what happened is a bunch of the nerdy kids turned into vampires. And the classic South Park goth kids got all pissed off. The same people and all the other normal kids couldn't tell the difference between the two.
That's funny.
And poor Butters gets sucked in, and it turns out the vampires are drinking Clamato.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so Butters gets pissed off, and they made him throw up.
Oh, very nice.
And it's so great that they're so timely, you know, and... I've been watching that True Blood show, too, and I usually don't get into vampire stuff, but it's well done.
Yeah, I think that's a good show. South Park is at their best when they're making fun of stuff that's going on right now.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That's always fun.
Well, one of the advantages that they have is that they make that show right up to the last possible second. I mean, a lot of times Comedy Central doesn't even see it before it hits the air. It's not like a lot of the other animated shows where they got to send it off to Korea and 9 months go by before they have it. I mean, they can have an idea one day and get that show on the air next week. It's pretty remarkable the way they do it.
It is, although part of the reason for that is because they don't start until the day before.
Well, that is true, too. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Abby in Tustin. Good morning, Abby.
Hi. What to do? What to do, Lisa?
What to do, Abby?
What's going on?
Hi. I read all four of the Twilight books, and I thought they were awful.
Why would you read book number two?
Yeah, why'd you go?
I read the first one, and now you read the first one, you have to read the rest. It's kind of unfinished.
But
not if it sucks.
Not if it's awful.
Well, I don't believe it necessarily sucks.
This is,
I didn't think it sucked. I thought the fourth one, like, blew total chunk. It was awful.
Well, there are a lot of people who are very disappointed in the changes in the fourth one, that's for sure. But, I mean, you thought the first three were pretty good. You were just let down by the last one.
They were okay. And I was horribly let down by the last one.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like the way the last one went.
It was weird. It was like the author just kind of threw a bunch of crap together because she ran out of ideas.
But I don't think it means the whole series sucks.
Hey, Abby, what can we do? Let me ask your advice on this. What can we do to stop talking about Twilight?
Just stop talking about Twilight in general.
We can wait until...
A couple of days.
A couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's going to be number one for a couple of weeks in a row.
Probably. And then you'll be fine.
And then we'll get over it, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, why don't we leave it there, and we'll take more calls tomorrow morning, or throughout the show, by the way, if you hear something on the radio that you have a comment for, you are always welcome to call in. But that's Kevin Bean's What It Do.
Today on the program, we have Sarah Silverman in the studio.
She's great.
Very excited about that. We have Robert Pattinson from some movie on the program.
Twilight.
Today. Yes. Yeah. That one. Mm-hmm. Mighty Putty. I don't know if you've heard about Mighty Putty, but you need to. If you don't have Mighty Putty, you're nobody.
Psycho Mike, is that a new sex position that you uncovered? What's that all about?
I can't even get into the details. That's nasty.
I'm a member of Club Mighty Putty, by the way. And at 7 o'clock, we should mention, perhaps, details on K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
Oh, that little thing.
That little thing. 7 o'clock a.m. this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Showbiz beat his neck.
Ralph, I know you're excited about Mighty Putty, but you're going to have to wait about 15 minutes to tell us the magic that is your latest as seen on TV purchase.
I just made Mighty Putty in my pants.
Okay, and I should also remind you, this isn't the 5 p.m. show, so watch what you say, all right?
I have been drinking.
Again?
Yeah.
No. Well,
my wife's out of town, you know? It's great. I can get up at 4 in the morning and just crack open a cold one. There's no one there to say no.
She needs to come home for you to live,
Reggie
doesn't
looks
she?
Up at me and says, really? You're drinking a beer first thing in the morning?
Then you give Reggie some.
That's right. He loves
beer. He's cool.
Yeah. Why do dogs love beer so much? I wonder why.
All dogs
love freaking beer.
They really do love beer. Yeah. I don't know.
When I'm drinking a beer, he sits at my feet until I have about, I don't know, half a spoonful left in the bottom, and then I take it and I tip the bottle back and feed it to him, and he goes nuts.
You pour a 40 out for your homie?
I do. Pour a little out for my homies, yeah.
I don't think dogs have the most discriminating palate when it comes to food.
No, but sit there drinking a Diet Coke or something, and he walks right past me, doesn't care. I drink a beer, he goes nuts. He cannot wait for me to give him some at the
end. Why do dogs love beer is a good question.
Add that to my list. Add that to where do flies go at night? Why aren't there more dead birds around? And why do dogs love beer?
Okay. It's Ralph's Animal Quarter.
That's right.
It's 5:51 on Thursday morning. Don't forget, just after 7 o'clock this morning, details you need to know on the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. Yes, it is that time of year again. Right now, what's going on in the showbiz world?
I hate Twilight. I hate the fans of Twilight. I hate everything. I hate the books. I think all books now should be banned because of Twilight.
All books of all kinds?
All books should be burned. Mm-hmm. I've had an ass full of Twilight. It's not even open yet. Enough with these women in front of
you. Heard us talking to the people in the
I drove past
morning, right?
This morning. Yeah. He's on the phone. Really? It's like the first 9 people told him they weren't quite sure.
By the way, we're kidding. He's here.
Yeah. He's in the next room. He's waiting to come in.
Turn around and go back.
Emergency bat turn.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, Robert Pattinson, who we'll be talking to later today, did an interview for 17 Magazine and said that, you know, he has to kiss on screen this broad, this Elizabeth, like, or it's Bella, right?
Bella.
Bella, right.
He said it was terrifying to kiss on screen.
Really?
Because he hasn't really kissed anyone in a while.
That's kind of flimsy.
What a fruit log this guy is.
Sam Anderson?
It's terrifying to kiss the girl. Yeah, a lot of gay guys feel that way. I know.
I'm the alpha male now, you guys.
I know you're feeling Bobby.
Did he mention the word cooties at any point?
He didn't mention cooties, but he did say it was terrifying to kiss on screen. Have you seen the broad he gets to kiss in this movie?
Yes.
Yeah, terrifying Kristen is not Stewart? The adjective I would use.
I would go, hey, I messed that up. I'd like another take if you don't mind.
Adverb,
one more time.
I guess it would be an adjective, be an adverb. I don't get angry emails from English scholars. But
Bean.
I would so...
Bean's halfway through that
he would write me a strongly worded letter. you use the word adjective incorrectly. But I would terrify her with my mighty putty. Not Robert Pattinson. Speaking of girls I'd like to terrify with my mighty putty, Rosario Dawson in the news.
Yes.
You know, she's stripping down for Playboy next month.
Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently in the interview she gives in the magazine, did you know they have written articles in that magazine?
No. You're confused. Playboy is a photo magazine. It's just pictures of naked women.
True. They have interviews and articles and fiction.
I never noticed those.
It's true.
All.
Some guy told me. She says in the interview that she grew up in a very liberal family that encouraged her to sunbathe in the nude.
Nice melons.
That's great till you realize it's your family.
Her mother hated to see tan lines on her little girl, so they would frequent a nude beach in New York while she was growing up.
Hmm.
She says the experience made her very free about her body as an adult. Which
vagina.
That explains why she's perfectly comfortable posing nude for Playboy.
I have to tell you, if I were making a list, if I sat down and were making a list of the 10 celebrity women that I would most want to see in Playboy, Rosario Dawson would be on that list, so this is a dream come true for me.
It is odd to have a actress in the bloom of her career,
yeah,
like Rosario Dawson, pose for Playboy. Usually they go, they get them on the way up or on the way down.
That's right.
But Rosario Dawson enjoying a tremendous acting career right now and willing to pose nude for Playboy.
That's a serious rack.
Which is good news for us.
Yes, yeah.
It is.
I want to keep in mind, let everyone know, today is the Great American Smokeout.
Okay.
So smoke out, everybody. That's what they want you to do. Just light up.
Smoke more than usual?
Smoke them up.
All right.
Are you sure you're reading
smoke
that right?
Smoke up, Johnny.
I thought you're supposed to quit smoking, I think is the point of the smokeout.
Why don't they call it a smokeout, then? Let's all smoke out. Wouldn't they call it a Great American Stop Smoke or something, if that was the case?
I would think so. That's right.
In a related story, Kiefer Sutherland said he hated serving 7 weeks in the slammer when he did his time for DUI, but he said it was good for him because it forced him to quit smoking while he was behind bars. He can't smoke anymore in jails, you know. He tells Men's Vogue. Even know there was a Men's Vogue, by the way.
Since when? I thought smokes were the...
Smoke's been banned in...
a few years now.
Oh.
Prisons and jails for a couple of years. He said once he got out of prison, he immediately bought himself a pack of cigarettes.
Did he really?
Excellent.
That's my boy.
By the way, 24 comes back on Sunday.
I know.
Very excited about that.
Two-hour movie.
Two-hour movie.
Yep. It's awesome.
It is weird how many people you hear with stories similar to that. They quit, and it seems like now they're well on their way to being smoke-free, but it doesn't matter how long ago you quit. There's still that possibility, I guess, you get sucked back into it. It just starts to sound good to you.
Like my mom quit when she was pregnant with both my brother and me. She quit for the entirety of the pregnancy, and then as soon as she was born, she started smoking again.
That's what she told you, but look what happened.
Well,
so.
Because cigarettes are filled with delicious goodness, that's why.
And you recommend them to the kids, right?
Only delicious.
They're like
goodness.
Hot Cheetos cigarettes. They're literally hot. You light them on fire.
That's true.
That's how hot they are.
That is true.
I just love cigarettes so much! This sucks, and I might have to step in. I might have to put on the cape and cowl and pull a little vigilante justice here.
Wow.
Have you heard what Jennifer Garner's going through?
No.
She's being terrorized by this stalker. She's got a stalker who has been sending her threatening packages, letters, following her and Ben Affleck around the country, and their daughter, Violet. She's got a little baby girl, Violet. She's pregnant with another one.
Wow.
Apparently, it's just a living hell for her. A judge will decide today whether to issue a permanent restraining order against Stephen Berkey, which is his name, who has temporarily at least been ordered to stay 100 yards away from the trio, but today will be the decision whether it's permanent or not. He is also not permitted to own, possess, or buy a gun or firearm, according to the ruling.
That's
so
good news.
We're waiting for today for there to be a final decision. But she testified yesterday and said, look, I'm pregnant with a child. I've got a child. This guy is everywhere. He's sending me packages. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he believes in his deluded mind that there's some death threat against Jennifer, and he's going to follow her around and save her.
Wow. Is he SD6, does it say? Could that be it?
Yes, he might be SD6.
TV show, Alias TV. That's 10 years ago.
He might be Arvin Sloan. That's who he might be.
Why does it seem like it's difficult for celebrities to convince judges when they're being... Doesn't it seem like that should be an easy process?
Yeah. You should be able to do it online.
Just...
She should be able to click a box Amazon.com and just say, yeah, I got a stalker. Take him out.
It's like they're hesitant to do anything against stalkers, and I don't know why.
I think we start arming the paparazzi. If you see a stalker, take him out. Earn your keep. You want a photo? Take out a stalker.
Yeah.
One for one. That's how you get them.
Even trade.
That's my world. Forbes magazine has issued the list. Here's the thing about Forbes magazine. Great, great lists. They always come up with great lists.
That involve money.
The top most powerful people in Hollywood. I always find interesting the top 10 biggest earning dead celebrities they do every
year.
I always
find
that fascinating.
400 richest.
400 richest. I think they may, however, gone to the list well one too many times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Today's list is the list of the most powerful children in Hollywood.
Most powerful children.
Huh. Yeah. Sam Sheen, son of Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards. Is 10th most powerful.
He doesn't have any power. He's just a little baby.
They're
he doesn't
all
have a
kids. None
doesn't
of them have
a show.
Any power. They're
well,
all powerless. Look, if I walk up to them, I can push them down. That's how powerless they are.
But there are 8-year-olds that are at least have TV shows that have income coming in. He's a baby.
Number 9, Sean Preston Federline. I don't know where Jaden is on the list. He's not in the top 10. Apparently, Sean just has all the power in that relationship.
Jaden is going to be angry.
Woo! David Banda. Madonna and Guy Ritchie's adopted son from Malawi. He's 8th on the list.
Really?
Number 7.
Isn't this a serious money magazine?
Yes, it is. Matilda Rose, Heath Ledger's daughter. 7th on the list. Most powerful child in Hollywood.
Okay.
Cruz Beckham.
All right.
David and Victoria Beckham's son, Cruz.
Okay. Have any of these kids had any kind of a career yet?
No, most
None
of them still crap themselves.
Okay.
Just want to keep that in mind. Sam Alexis Woods, Tiger Woods' son, is number 5 on the list.
Okay.
Then just owning the top 4, the Jolie Pitt clan.
Oh,
Pax, Zahara, and Shiloh have 4th, 3rd, and 2nd place, respectively. And the number 1 most powerful child in Hollywood, Suri Cruz.
Yeah.
Because she knows aliens.
That's right.
Probably.
She's got a ray gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a dumb list.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
What does
that
even mean?
Your parents have a lot of money.
I know.
Yeah, but famous kids?
More,
is that what it is?
Richer kids than that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know that Suri Cruz, for instance, you've reported before, sells magazines if you put her on the cover. So maybe it's just...
She doesn't sell magazines, Bean. She doesn't even have a job. Why would she have, like, a newsstand or something? That's ridiculous.
That's a weird list.
And lastly, you got to love the New York Post because they run in their gossip column what they call blind items. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but they will say a story like, guess who was seen banging a famous ball player on top of a bar last night? They can never identify the person for fear of being sued. But it's a rumor that's almost always true. They attribute to someone, but you have to kind of figure out who it is.
Yeah, they give you clues.
Well, here's today's, and I think we all know the answer.
Okay.
Which talk show host has a flatulence problem so bad,
Jimmy,
he's said to have an assistant follow him around with an odor vaporizing spray can? Listen, we've worked with Jimmy Kimmel, okay? We have spent a lot of time with Jimmy Kimmel. Trust me. If there's any talk show host that needs someone to follow them around with an odor vaporizing can,
but
it's Jimmy Kimmel.
Who wants to deodorize it less than Jimmy? I mean,
yeah.
He
would not allow that.
That's when he worked for us, but now he works for the big boys. You know what I'm saying?
I see.
I think an edict came down from ABC New York, and they said, look, you are just killing people. You need to give your assistant a can of... renews it, or Febreze or something, just a mask.
Congratulations, Jim.
You got an ass problem.
I, as a broadcaster and a sports professional, can in no way condone this.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Richard Dawson, the very first host of Family Feud. Remember that show?
Yep.
So they said!
Yeah. Still alive.
Never really watched that much. Why are you so excited about that?
He was so awesome!
He was the best.
How awesome could he be?
He got loaded all the time on the set and mac out with girls.
He did.
And he wasn't even like your normal cheesy kind of like soft talk shows. He was like a rugged, mean-looking dude. And he was always kind of like condescending.
Yeah,
he
would make fun of people, and he was lascivious. He would like totally come on to women in front of their husbands and stuff. And he was juiced half the time. He was the best.
He married a contestant from that show, by the way. That's his wife. I don't know if they're still together, but yeah, he met her on the show and married her.
Richard is 76 years old today. Actress Bo Derek, the original 10, 52 today. Sean Young, crazy actress, is 49. Mike D of the Boys.
Tiny.
Yeah. Is 43 years old today. Sendog of Cypress Hill turns 43 as well. Joshua Gomez, who plays Morgan on Chuck, is 33. We don't talk much about Chuck. Are you watching Chuck?
On and off.
I find that endlessly entertaining.
It's really good.
It's a really good show that doesn't get a lot of press, but they do a good job over there. And Nadine Velasquez from My Name is Earl, who plays that smoking hot little maid.
Yes,
she is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It probably does not exist.
Explain your career.
Oh!
That's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Point taken. Kevin DeBean Show, 6:11. Ralph was over the moon talking like crazy about this product called the ShamWow.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel.
Every time.
Like a chamois, it's like a towel, it's like a sponge. A regular towel doesn't work wet. This works wet or dry.
Yes,
he convinced us all to buy the ShamWow, I'll tell you that.
Not me.
And they rule.
And then it came in, leases came in, we poured out water on the ground, and it wouldn't really pick it up any more than a regular towel.
Oh, it did.
And then Ralph started yelling at me about how I was doing it wrong.
Watch Vince, I'll show you how to do it. You got to roll it, you got to hit it down with your knuckles, there's a way to use it.
Does it suck up water or not? I don't need some kind of a 12-step program to pick up water.
But Kevin, it's like saying, my lawnmower doesn't work. Well, you haven't turned it on. You have to start the engine to get the full value out of the lawnmower. You use products correctly, and then they work.
Kevin hops behind the wheel of his car and says, go, take me home.
This car doesn't work. It's stupid.
You guys know this is a towel, right?
It's not a towel.
I used it to dry my dog's feet yesterday and I actually had to re-moisturize their feet. It got too dry.
Oh, see? There we go.
It's just case made. It's an average product with a fantastic name.
Wrong.
That's all it is.
Wrong. That's the guy who doesn't own the ShamWow. This is from the guy who doesn't own the ShamWow.
I tried it. Did I try
it?
No, barely.
Barely.
Didn't do it right. It's a rag.
Kevin is wrong. The ShamWow rules. What's your point?
My point is Ralph's off the ShamWow now.
I'm a happy ShamWow owner, but now I moved on to another exciting product that I also must add to my arsenal of household weaponry.
Crap.
Weaponry.
Are you fighting your house?
Yes. This is the best thing I've ever seen, and I ordered it 2 days ago, and I'm so excited. I asked for rush delivery.
Rush Limbaugh's going to bring it up by your house.
Gilligan.
The Mighty Putty.
Mighty Putty!
Yes!
It's a miracle. Mighty Putty
is not a miracle.
It is a miracle product.
Listen to this.
Hi, Billy Mays here for Mighty Putty. The easy way to fix, fill, and seal virtually anything fast and make it last. Mighty Putty is not a glue.
No.
But a super-powered epoxy.
Yes.
That you can mold to any shape and apply directly to most any surface for an everlasting bond. It has the muscle to support up to 350 pounds. Rebuild a damaged tool to work like new. Or make car repairs and save money.
Yeah, I'd like to see you make car repairs with it.
If you're... molding is coming off your car, like along the roof there. Sometimes there's a track of molding along the side of the car in some cars. You take the Mighty Putty, you cut off a piece, you mold it together to activate it, then you put it behind there and push it down. Boom. That thing is permanent. That's a permanent bond. Your car, fixed.
Two words, super glue. Same
no,
thing.
No, super
this
glue
doesn't
comes
have
loose.
Mighty in the name.
It comes loose. This fills gaps. It you can sand it and paint it. you can mold it to make anything you want. You break your coffee cup handle, what do you do? This coffee cup is now useless to me. No. You get Mighty Putty, you form it in the shape of a handle, you glue it on there, boom, it dries. Good as new.
Have you ever owned a Mighty Putty?
No!
So you're basing all of this on this commercial?
Because Billy May has never lied to me.
Drills, bolts, and screws can ruin your project. With Mighty Putty, you just cut, activate, and apply. Here's something you can't do with glue. Mighty Putty seals leaks instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Use
that.
It on pipes and faucets for a permanent seal. As you need, it activates, turning from green to white to show it's ready to hold on tight.
Yes.
Green to white, hold on tight.
They rhyme a lot in these infomercials.
It's easy to remember.
That.
You have a pipe.
Pipes.
You have a pipe leaking in your house. Your house is getting flooded. You're 4 feet deep in water. You got a little Mighty Putty. Wrap it around that pipe. Sealed.
That's gullible. Amazing.
Sealed.
Oh, gullible. you'd rather flood your basement.
Fine.
Kevin, rather
let,
than
let
put
your
the Mighty
family
Putty
drown.
On and save it.
My yeah. family not drowning because I'm sealing it with Mighty Putty.
Although the last time I needed to do this, I wish I had Mighty Putty.
It has the strength to pull this fully loaded 80,000-pound tractor trailer. Now that's the power of Mighty Putty, and it's ideal for all your crafting projects. There's nothing you can't do with Mighty Putty.
So
there's nothing you can't do with Mighty Putty.
Tell me about your crafting projects, Ralph.
Well, actually, Lisa, you may know I'm the owner of a new home, and I'm actually working on a crafting project as we speak.
What?
That Mighty Putty will come in very
a
handy.
A Batman board. Project?
I'm building my new Batcave. Yes,
oh my
to hold
God.
All my collectibles and stuff.
Are you going to make the bat pole out of Mighty Putty?
No, but I've got some molding and things that I'm putting up, and I need to fill in some areas that caulk would not be appropriate, and yet Mighty Putty, caulk, Mighty Putty was just the thing that I need, and I cannot wait to use it.
Let me tell you what sold me on the Mighty Putty, and thanks to the K-Rock listener who tipped us off to the putty, because I had not seen it yet anyway, is that on the website they show video of a guy putting Mighty Putty on a brick wall and attaching brackets to the Mighty Putty. So it's not screwed in or nailed in because it's brick. It's just attached with the Mighty Putty. Then he puts a board on top to make it a shelf. Then he puts 350 pounds on that shelf. It's Mighty Putty connected to a brick wall.
Holds
That's
it.
Genius.
Holds it.
Then
holds
he puts
it.
The country of Canada on top of that, and it holds it as well.
I didn't see that part of the video, but I wouldn't be surprised because Mighty Putty is that strong.
I'm putting shelving up in my garage. Now, I can try to go through the process of getting out a stud finder and finding the studs and then, you know, drilling the holes and, you know, sinking the bolts in. Or I get Mighty Putty, boom, slap the brackets up, boom, shelving.
That sure seems easier.
And then a week later, you go to the drill because you got to pick it up and put it all back in and put it on.
Who hurt you, man?
Wow.
Products.
Wow.
Advertising.
How did, negative how did, world you live
how
in.
How did Mighty Putty hurt your feelings so
I
badly?
Learned,
do you distrust Mighty Putty?
I learned to distrust advertising that sounds like there's absolutely no product better because it's almost never true. That's
no,
all.
No Mighty Putty
That's
for you.
That's all. I don't want
no Mighty Putty.
Putty I don't
for
want
you.
It.
You don't get it.
I don't want it.
Good, then, because you're not having it.
You're not allowed to have it. We wouldn't let you have it if you wanted it.
People,
how about that?
People who have Mighty Putty, we might need to hear from you. I'm sure there are people out there. Is this a 30-minute infomercial, that, or just a...
No, it's just a regular commercial.
Regular commercial. Okay. As seen on TV. People who are out there that have Mighty Putty, we need to hear if it works or not, because
yes.
Ralph is very excited about it.
You know our friend Paul Lee? Super artist Paul Lee?
Yes.
Sent us photographs just this morning when we heard we were talking about it. He made his son's Halloween costume for a Halloween. His kid went as the lead singer of the Gorillaz.
Okay.
The animated, band.
God, I hate parents like that to make you look bad.
And, well,
he's an artist.
He's got the gift. He made the kid's mask, since they don't have a gorilla's mask for the kid to wear on Halloween, made the kid's mask out of Mighty Putty. Sculpted it, let it dry, painted it, sanded it. Looks amazing.
Can't get it off.
Mighty Putty.
The kid stuck with
no,
it for the rest of his life.
He didn't stick his face on it when it was wet. He let it dry, and then Mighty Putty became a wonderful mask for the kid to wear.
All right.
If they had Mighty Putty before Katrina, New Orleans right now would be in a desert. I mean, there's no question of that.
Good point.
If you just packed those levees with Mighty Putty, never would have leaked. And then whatever water did come over, you soak up with the ShamWow. If they had those products, we wouldn't have had the horrible catastrophe that was
Katrina. That's a great point.
Wow. All right, so Mighty Putty, we're going to take calls on Mighty Putty, but also other as-seen-on-TV products.
The best stuff to buy is all on television.
Of course.
You can't go to a store and get anything good. You can only get good things on television. That's what I found.
I wonder why that is, though, Ralph.
I don't know, but I think about it as I'm crawling across my little giant ladder. I know that much.
Little giant ladder is another one.
That goes into any direction. It locks in, and you can use it in any possible permutation that you could use a ladder in. Use it on a regular basis. Love my little giant.
Do you want to take Eddie's call now and crush your Mighty Putty dreams, or should we take a break and come back?
Eddie's a liar. If you want to talk to a liar, feel free.
Mighty Putty
I prefer not to talk to liars.
Or other products that you bought on TV that say they're not sold in stores, because those are really the only good ones. 1-800-520-106.
Unsolicited testimonies rolling in.
I was holding up a bunch of email. Kevin Abicho, 628, talking about the Mighty Putty and other products as seen on TV.
I love Mighty Putty from listener Omar. I use it to patch broken patio tile. Works great. I'm a big fan all the time. This is from Courtney.
Kevin, you do the infomercial.
Ralph, I heard you talk about Mighty Putty, and I can say my boyfriend bought Mighty Putty and did it to make a car repair, and it worked. We had a small piece that broke off the water reservoir for the radiator. We tried glue, and that wouldn't work. And he molded a bit of Mighty Putty on it, and it is still holding. I am a believer in Mighty Putty. Courtney, devoted K-Rock listener.
Wow.
What do you say about that,
Saving
Kevin?
Saving lives is what Mighty Putty's doing.
I say let's go to Richard in Torrance. Good morning, Richard.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
What's your take on the As Seen on TV products?
Oh, man, Kevin is right. Dude, Ralph, you're going to be wasting your money.
Wrong, sir.
What did you do with it or not do with it?
My friends over in Palmdale, and, well, we got baked, and I usually get these great ideas while I'm baked, and I say, hey, let's use it to pull your ATV.
Okay, they say you can pull a truck, so an ATV should be nothing.
And it's a small one, you know, it's like a little Raptor beginner's one. So we go out into the dirt, we got a chain, we do the little rolling thing, turns white, we smack it up to the ATV in a chain, we tie the chain up to his trail hitch, and he revs up his truck, and we go to pull it, Mighty Putty broke.
See, you can't pull an ATV.
You know you got to let it dry, right?
Yes, we know.
Says Bonds instantly, Ralph.
No, it doesn't say Bond instantly. You got to let it dry.
Maybe there's something else. All right, so wait a minute. Which one of you has Mighty Putty? Oh, that would be Richard.
Yeah, that would be me.
Oh, how about that?
But you got to put it between two plates. Days, you just can't stick a chain to an ATV.
Well, you know, hey, they pulled that big truck with it.
Yeah, they take two metal plates and they use it to epoxy the plates together, and that's how they pull with a chain. They don't just like spackle a chain to the front of the ATV.
Yeah, they don't use any screws on the plate, so I thought, hey, just put it right on the ATV, put that chain there, and we can pull.
All right, well, Richard, your ideas when you're baked are not as good as you thought they were. Yeah, Richard,
I get my Mighty Putty, I won't use it to pull a car or an ATV. I won't do that then.
You have earned a Shirt Still It Hurts shirt. Congratulations. Green eggs and ham, tie-dye, blue and pink.
Oh, that's good for him and his stoner friends.
That's one of Bean's shirts, I think, that he donated.
As a matter of fact, I did donate that one to the cause. All right, one more on the Mighty Putty. Let's go to Andrew in Newport Beach, and then we're going to take calls on some of the other As Seen on TV products that you bought and you love. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you guys doing today?
Good. Andrew, testify.
Oh, man, that stuff rocks, man. I race mountain bikes, and I broke my frame and threw some of that stuff on there and could race the rest of the day.
Wow.
You used Mighty Putty to fix his bike frame, Kevin.
If it were Kevin, Kevin would have just had to ditch the bike or walk back because he doesn't have the belief in the power of Mighty Putty.
You usually have to weld a frame back together, but with Mighty Putty, boom, you're back on the road.
Stuff works so good.
Congratulations, Andrew. You get Disney's The Country Bears t-shirt.
another thing, it's a good bong fixer.
Yeah, there you go. Fixed bonds. Now Kevin's interested.
Okay. Now you're tight.
Airtight.
Now you're talking my language. Thank you for the call.
Let's switch gears real quick. We don't have much time, but let's talk to Celia in Yorba Linda. She's on line 7. This is one that I heard some talk about in the office yesterday, but I don't know too much about. Hey, Celia, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Seen on TV. What do you have?
I actually bought the Pet Egg on TV.
I have that.
The Pet Egg.
Yes, it's where you... grind the bottom of your foot to get all the dead cells.
It's a cheese grater for your feet.
Pretty much, yeah.
Why is it an egg?
I have no idea. I guess it's just to catch all of your dead cells.
It's easy to hold it. It's in a, like an egg shape, and then the top part is flat with the grinder thing. And then
what are you,
guys,
Britney Spears walking around all day barefoot in convenience stores? How much crap do you have on the bottom of your feet?
You want to have cute feet when you're walking around in heels and stuff. So
yeah, but what happens to your feet that makes them look so gnarly?
Because in the summer, we wear sandals and flip-flops and open-toed shoes, and it's rough on your feet.
Oh, like a Kenyan barefoot marathoner?
Okay, does the egg cheese grater thing for your foot work?
I love it.
Okay.
It absolutely works.
Yes.
My wife has one of those, too. She lives by it.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Hers vibrates, though. It's different.
And you can never understand why. Let's see. I'm going to give her a Catholic educator makes a world of difference T-shirt.
And they do.
Perfect. So congratulations to her. All right. Where do we go? We have so many different ones here.
I know. Let's talk to Bill in Chino Hills. He's on line four right now, as seen on TV. Bill, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, I got this thing. It's called the hang-ups.
What's the hang-ups?
Yeah, it's wild. It's for your back. It's to, like, alleviate pain in your back. And it's kind of hard to picture, but picture like an A-frame. With like an A-frame triangle, kind of, with a mat.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember those old things that you connect on your legs and you hung from, like, the doorway with, like, hooks on them? The
inversion boots, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, those ones. Well, it's basically the same thing, but you're laying on a mat. You remember that ab sit-up lounge?
Oh, so it's like a tilt board.
Yeah, it's like a tilt board, but it can put you completely upside down to where you're actually hanging completely vertical, like a bat.
So basically you're letting... You're letting your back stretch.
You're letting gravity, reverse gravity on your spine.
I think I have seen this, and it locks into place, right, once you get upside down.
Yeah, it can either lock into place, or you can leave it at whatever angle you're comfortable with, you know?
And it makes your back feel better.
Oh, man, it makes your back feel better, and it's good for your blood flow and all kinds of stuff. It alleviates like, a bunch of pain in your legs, because, you know, you get that kind of stiffness in your legs a little bit.
That's not right. That's stiffness.
Let the blood flow back down.
I am ordering it today. Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, that's the one great thing about Ralph, man. If there's any product that you bring up that he doesn't have, he'll order it today.
Yeah. He's a sucker.
Yeah, he's
collecting the whole set.
Get up on it, hang upside down, and you like twist, and you can even do like reach up.
All right, take it easy, Bill. We already bought it. We're already in. We want it. Leave us alone.
SceneOnTV.com is one of my favorite websites because they have all these things. It's awesome.
Dude, you have to get that. You have to wear a Spider-Man suit, too, when you do it. It'd be awesome.
There you go.
See, because you can hang from. You have a T-shirt that says Istanbul on it. Congratulations.
Nice. Can we talk to Jeff online? Because I've been dying to get this, and I haven't got it yet. I would like to hear his opinion of it.
Okay. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning.
Which, as seen on TV, product have you bought?
I purchased the forearm forklift.
Ooh, I'm so jealous.
What's the forearm forklift?
The forearm forklifts are moving straps that you wear on your forearms, and you can lift anything. It's awesome. I thought it was a total gag. My wife got them for me as a Christmas present, I think, 2 years ago, and they're awesome. I took them over to my buddy's house to help him move. I got laughs for about 2 minutes until we started using them, and then two of my buddies went out and bought them.
Kevin, let's say you have a refrigerator you need to move. You throw these straps under the fridge, and you put them on your forearms. I'm getting so excited.
Yeah.
You just put your hands flat up against the refrigerator, and you go like this, and you lift it up, and you're carrying a fridge out to your car.
That's just not happening.
Jeff, is it happening?
You work fantastic.
I saw Yoda do that without even touching it.
You just stand up, and you're carrying it with ease.
Wow, or else a sucker. You got to get that, then. You got to get the forearm forklift.
Unfortunately. The forearm forklifts are awesome.
All right.
Could you lift a car and carry it down the street if
easily,
you wanted to, Ralph?
Easily.
It doesn't matter how heavy the thing is. You can lift anything.
No, it's leverage, man. Right. It's physics.
It's all about the leverage.
Congratulations, Jeff, from our Shirts Till It Hurts program. You got a triple XL shirt that says, I beat anorexia.
So, because I'm a very large man.
Good man.
Congratulations.
Big from lifting all those things with the forearm forklift.
Excellent. Thanks for calling. I come down firmly in the dancer category, by the way.
I'm sure
you are more dancer than human. That's
true. An easy question for me. Not everybody, maybe, but dancer.
It's Kevin Beach on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ at 6:45. Just a little after the news at 7, we'll have details you want on the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. And then right after that, we'll be talking to a young man by the name of Robert Pattinson. He plays Edward in Twilight that opens up tomorrow. Yesterday on the show, we gave away an opportunity for a listener to ask him a question, too. So that'll also be included in the next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
323-520-AFRO is the answering machine that we have here at K-Rock. You can leave us a message 24 hours a day on any topic.
Hey, guys, it's Mug. Have you seen the new surveillance camera they just installed here at the station? It's right across Studio O in between the bathroom. Does this mean I can't walk around and drink beer with my shirt off anymore?
I would say you walking around and drinking beer with your shirt off is the least of the problems that are going on here.
That is a really good point.
I agree.
You're perfectly fine. Don't worry about it. There's a photo of Miss Cleo from the Kevin and Bean Singles Party, the Halloween party, that Bean put up at his blog, and this guy apparently needs more.
Okay, I want mandatory daily picture updates of Miss Cleo's boobs on the website right now. It's mandatory. Has to be done. I think everyone will agree with me.
Guys, it's easy to do. Let's make that a regular feature on the Kevin and Bean page of Carrick.com. Let's put up a picture of Miss Cleo's boobs every single day.
I don't think you pay her enough.
Why not?
You're going to have to. You're gonna have
she
to
doesn't
up
have to do anything. She just has to stand there.
I like how simplistically Bean looks at this.
She doesn't understand at all.
She doesn't.
Right?
She has. Hey, Bean, she has will. That's what she has. Yeah. Like, she has an opinion.
But who cares what her opinion is? This is for the greater good. This is her service to country.
All right, whether we can do that or not, this guy, I think.
It's my birthday next Thursday, guys. Could I come into camera so I can see some big-ass boobies? I want to see some big-ass Come on, guys. I want to see those big-ass cans. I want to see some boobies.
Right.
Wow.
God.
I have been attacked. I have been terrorized by a possum. It is possessed by Satan. It looks at me with its beady little red eyes, and it wants me dead.
Hello, Kevin. This is the Possum King, and I'm going to kill you. Die.
Told you. Didn't it just walk by your driveway one time?
Wouldn't that let me out? It tried to take over my soul. Thank God I was strong.
Oh, my God. Help me. They're everywhere. Possums. The damn possums. They have me cornered. I never thought I'd say this, but Kevin was right. Oh, my God. They found me. Hi, Lisa.
They're like the new zombies.
This skit provided to you by... Not all jokes are good, because most people are unable to tell jokes. Yeah. This guy, however...
You know why Helen Keller couldn't drive?
Why Helen Keller couldn't drive?
Why?
Blind comes to mind.
Blind, yeah,
right?
Of course.
Because she was a f***ing woman.
I personally don't find that funny.
It's pretty funny delivery, though. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Well, we all know that Lisa's hot, right? So I guess we could call her Hot Lisa. So you know what I say? I just love Hot Lisa. I love her so much.
Not as
when
good.
I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love her so much.
The latest craze amongst impressionists is the Bean impression. Dead on.
That's not even in the top 100 of Bean impressions we've heard on the Afro line.
It's like he is you. I mean, it's not even an impression. It actually was you. And finally, it is sad, but the King of Mexico has to communicate with us through our own Afro line.
Ricky Davis to bring it ahead, and finally, at long last, the Clippers get number two.
We win number two. We have two wins. Play the song, Kevin.
Dude, the Clippers are number two.
Yo-o. You know, the Clips are starting slow, and that's cool, but Kevin's hating.
But the Clippers gonna be alright. I said the Clippers gonna be alright. Yeah.
Ben brings the O, Kevin brings a D. Can't go wrong with fans like me. That's right, that's right. Clippers gonna be alright. Yeah.
Staples Center's rocking, everybody's talking, celebrities are flocking. To the team in red, white, and blue.
No.
Los Angeles, this team's for you.
No.
Yeah. If you play loud, we'll cheer loud. Together we'll be playoff bound. That's right, that's right. I said the Clippers gonna be alright, alright. Yeah.
Barron brings the O, Cammy brings a D. Can't go wrong with fans like me. That's right, that's right. Clippers gonna be alright. Yeah.
They say the Clipper Nation is done, but with Baron Davis leading the way, you know the Clippers are gonna be okay. Alright? DCOM, Clipper Nation forever.
They got two!
They got two! Woo!
restraining order keeps this lunatic at least 100 yards away from her, but I feel bad for her and her family, her husband Ben Affleck, their daughter Violet, her unborn child. She testified yesterday saying that she's scared for her safety, as you can imagine. This guy has been following her around the country, sending her weird packages, letters, making threats. And she said even though Bean is in the Pacific Northwest, she still feels threatened by him.
I'm sorry, did they mention Bean specifically?
Well, no, but come on.
I don't think really this one has anything to do with me.
You got to figure.
This one.
I'm the worst stalker ever in that I refuse to leave my home.
But if they come to your house, you're going to be all over
them.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, they have TMZ has published some of the letters that he's written.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have time to go through them now, but you should take a gander. It's a little creepy. Real quick. Dear Jennifer, I'm writing you again today to tell you I love you. I have decided I want to try to send you something every day. Try? No. I have decided I want to send you something every day. Today is a beautiful day. My mind is mostly all on you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know in spirit and mind you have wanted me too,
and
encouraged me to keep going somehow. So I'll just give you an idea.
Wow. That's not funny.
Does it sound like Nick could have written that?
Yes.
I know that deep in your spirit and mind you want me too. That's why I watch the hills every week. Kiefer Sutherland said he hated being in prison, but he admitted it was good for him because it forced him to quit smoking while he was behind bars.
They had him in prison in China for a long time because the government turned
him
over. They broke him out last season.
Glendale.
What?
I think this was Glendale.
Glendale? I didn't see that season.
It wasn't a season. He got a DUI. He got popped for DUI and had to do some time.
Well, that's not much of a plot point compared to try to stop the world from getting blown up.
24 two-hour movie premiere this Sunday. Not getting paid for this. Can't wait.
Quit smoking when he was in jail, but picked up the habit immediately after leaving prison.
It doesn't work if it's not something you decided to
But he
to
says
do.
He's glad to know that he can throw the pack away, at least temporarily.
If he's locked up.
And plans to quit. For good. Sometime. Very soon.
He just has to turn himself in to jail, and then he can quit.
I've said this before to Kevin, and he said he would invest with me, and we really have to do this. I want to start a Dr. Drew-type rehab center for smokers.
Seems like it's the hardest thing.
It is the hardest thing. It's like second only to heroin, they say, and its addictive properties.
Yeah.
And you see all these people going into rehab for drugs and alcohol and sex and stuff. It's the hardest, one of the hardest things in the world to quit.
Yeah.
It would seem like a slam dunk if you could come up with a chain of smoker rehab centers where you could go, check yourself in, live there, be with other people who are going through the same nightmare as you, detox, clean up, learn how to not smoke, and then be released back into the general population.
In real rehab, the smokers step outside and smoke. That's what they do instead of drugs.
It's a replacement, yeah.
So in this rehab, they would go outside and do heroin.
Now we're talking. Now you really sold me on the idea.
You know, we always joke about the million-dollar ideas that occasionally we'll come up with and then never do anything on. That one is so good, Ralph, that you really ought to think about a way to pursue the idea, because that really does sound like a home run.
You know, the reason I think most people can't quit, and the few times that I've tried, it's always been the case, is that trying to quit smoking Fs with you so much that it interferes with your regular life. You can't think clearly. You can't get your job done. You get snippy and you start arguing with people. If there was a place you could go and just not smoke, just focus on that for a couple weeks, I think you could get through the worst part of it a lot easier.
But what do you do when you come out? Would it be patches and stuff like that you'd do?
Sure.
Well, they say the actual nicotine addiction can be flushed from your system in about 21 days. But it's the habit part of it. It's the behavioral part of it that you need to break. It's the connection you have with lighting up when you get on the phone or when you're driving. It becomes such a part of your life that it becomes behavioral. That pattern that everything you do is somehow connected to lighting up. And that's the problem. When you get in the car and you start your engine up, if you're used to lighting up after that, you get that urge immediately because you've trained yourself that way. You know,
it's also the habit of having something in your hand and put it in your mouth.
Well, Ralph does that anyway.
You have to break.
Lisa May.
Hey, Gene Simmons. What's up, Gene?
Speaking of having something in your hand, then putting it in your mouth.
Yeah. All right. I don't see where you're going with this one, Gene. What do you mean?
We don't have time for him to explain in detail.
That's on Kiss Candy.
Kiss Candy. You saw that on the website?
Yes, www.kissarmy.com.
I didn't know that.
Putting your hands in your mouth.
You guys know The Doors, legendary band The Doors, big LA band The Doors.
Yep. Yep.
The Doors from the 60s, sure, The Doors.
I'm sure Kevin hates them and thought they sucked.
I was not a big fan, but...
You don't like The Doors either?
No.
I love The Doors.
I don't like the 60s sound much. That's all.
Great Doors music.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
They're commemorating Jim Morrison next month with a plaque in West Hollywood. Apparently, Jim used to hang out quite a bit at Barney's Beanery there on Santa Monica. When I first moved to California, that's one of the first places I went because I was a big Doors fan. I wanted to see where he used to drink.
Oh, really? Because it was famous for that?
He was famous for hanging out there. The plaque will be placed on December the 8th, which would have been Jim's 65th birthday, by the way.
Dude.
And they are putting it on the bar in a place where he peed all over it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I peed here, that kind of
thing?
They're
going to commemorate the fact that he was thrown out for standing on a bar stool and whizzing all over the bar at one point during a drunken tirade. And so the memorial will be placed on that former wet spot when you're going to Barney's Beanery. So now you'll know.
I was underwhelmed until you told me that part of it.
Morrison peed here.
Now I'm in.
That's why I did the story, because I thought it would be funny to talk about where he peed.
I'd like to like to recommend the Doors movie, too, that Oliver Stone made a few years ago with Val Kilmer playing Jim Morrison, which was a terrific movie. And if you don't know anything about the Doors, that'll give you a good overview of the band and their music.
Kilmer's outstanding in that.
He's amazing in that
really
role.
He is. And it's official. Our pal Kelly Osbourne is a bride-to-be.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Her fiancé, Luke Worrell, has told the British press that the couple's engaged, and he even asked Ozzy for permission to wed his daughter. That must have been a conversation.
I wonder what Ozzy said.
He's just have a lot of food.
He admits it was a little scary asking Ozzy for his daughter's hand, but everything was good after he got some thumbs up, and all is well.
Ladies, what's the rush to get married? How old is she? 20?
Yeah.
I mean,
don't
really?
Ask me. I think that's a terrible idea.
Apparently, they are going to have a small wedding, according to her fiance, but a huge cake. Have you seen the Ozzy commercials where he's texting everybody, he's trying to order coffee, and no one can understand him, so he has to whip out his I don't know, he's got a BlackBerry or something, and he texts the guy behind the counter, oh, black coffee, okay. Sure, black coffee. Okay. It is very funny. Today's celebrity birthdays, Bo Derek. From the movie 10, is 52 years old today. Crazy actor Sean Young is 49. Mike D of the B
Steve.
Boys is 43 years old today.
Cannot get that right.
Beans is just a day late and a dollar short. Descendog of Cypress Hill is 43. Joshua Gomez from Chuck turns 33. Nadine Velasquez from My Name is Earl turns 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You understand they're called twitards. They're called twerds, which stands for Twilight Nerds. They're called fanpires, and they're apparently going crazy because Twilight is coming out tomorrow. We'll talk to the actor who plays Edward in the movie, Robert Pattinson, joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
First, it's time to talk about K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. We have been getting a lot of emails from people saying, when are you going to announce? When are you going to announce? And that always cracks us up because we feel like we pummel you with this information. Yeah. I mean, we sometimes feel like it's all we talk about, and so it's not like we just mention it once and then it goes away.
Right.
Yeah, we don't hide it. When we're doing this show, we do let you know on the radio and frequently.
So we have details right this minute about who's going to be playing night number one.
Okay.
And then this afternoon at 5, we have details on night number two.
All right.
All right, that's pretty easy to get.
Night number one.
Two nights that K-Rock puts on quite a show. Be sure to get your tickets if you'd like to go. But once, a calamity ever so great occurred when K-Rock and Christmas met by mistake.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
Here's a quick look at some of the fun we have every holiday season.
Night one. The Offspring.
With a thousand.
South by the fire, Rise Against.
But we ran away. No, my friends
are gone. A special appearance.
You having a good holiday festival, Los Angeles?
From AFI. Sting. Almost Acoustic Christmas.
3 days grace.
Slightly Stupid. Hollywood Undead. And
Stone Temple Pilots.
That's our Christmas show, and we'd like to thank you for sharing this evening with us.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, 2008, Night 1.
Saturday, December 13th.
Gibson Amphitheater.
Keep listening for the on-sale info.
Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Junior Heritage Center, thanks to the bands and their labels.
Details on Night 2, today at 5.
K-Rock.
That is all that in a bag of hot Cheetos is what that is, ladies and gentlemen. Just announced night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic to Christmas is going to be December the 13th. That is a Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. If you missed the lineup because you weren't paying attention, here it is again. The Offspring, Stone Temple Pilots back together, Rise Against, AFI. And by the way, AFI is all I need to make up to make any show, to tell you the truth. Stained, 3 Days Grace, Slightly Stupid, and Hollywood Undead. All of those, one big bill, one big night, one big stage.
Night number two, we're going to tell you about this afternoon at 5, Cinco de la Tarde. And I will tell you this. I'll give you a little info. No repeats. All different bands.
Nice.
How about that?
All right.
And at least as good. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
It's going to be two fantastic nights, December 13th. The details are at krock.com, night number two, 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Robert Pattinson from Twilight.
Twilight is finally here. Fans of the series of books have been waiting a long time for the movie to arrive tomorrow. Frankly, it can't come and go fast enough for me, Kevin, because the Twilight fans are driving me crazy. But I understand their passion, and so does the young man on the phone with us right now. He plays Edward in the film, and he is actor Robert Pattinson joining us from New York. Hey, Robert, how are you, man?
I'm all right. How are you?
Well, we're good.
Good.
It's great to talk to you. We got an email from a K-Rock listener who streams our show in Minnesota every day who said he saw you on the Today Show this morning. He walked out into Rockefeller Center to meet some fans, and he said it was a terrifying mob scene. What was it like for you?
It's a day at the office now.
It does seem to be crazy out of control kind of instantly. Not that you weren't acting before. I mean, everybody knows you as the lovable Haggard from Harry Potter.
No,
you're great in that.
No, he was Cedric.
Cedric, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Right.
Cedric is what I meant. But this seems to be the biggest thing in the world and kind of instantly.
I know. I mean, it's funny because, like, I don't even think it's the... It looks like it's the most perfect publicity marketing campaign ever, but I think it's been barely nothing to do with it. I mean, it's the fans of the book just keep... Any media source they want Twilight to be involved with, they just bombard it with
That's
emails.
True.
And it's incredible. I mean, it's like literally the absolute essence of like viral marketing.
Well, enjoy it this week, because next week they're all going to meet you on the street and go, I didn't like it in the first book. Not that the movie's bad, but I'm saying the fans of books usually compare it really strictly to the book.
Oh, I know. Literally, I'm running from America.
You should be, my friend.
Hey, let me ask you this, Robert, since you know her and have had a chance to spend some time with her. I am fascinated because I haven't heard a great deal of the story of this Stephanie Meyer, I guess her name is, who wrote the books. She is, I mean, she's very pretty. I know I've seen the pictures of her. Is she like a housewife in Utah or something who came up with this whole universe of Twilight?
I guess she was, yeah. She's definitely not anymore.
No, yeah. Not anymore.
Yeah, right. What is she like as a person? Is she just a wildly imaginative person?
Really cool. She's like it's really, really surprising. I mean, her whole backstory completely contradicts. Well, I shouldn't really say that, to be honest. But I mean, she's really cool. She's really funny, and you know, and she's not even arrogant at all about this kind of ridiculous success. No, she's just a really nice woman.
And she was real involved in making sure that the movie was faithful to the book she wrote, right?
Yeah, she definitely was, and definitely more in pre-production than in. She wasn't there too much during the actual production.
I know she's got great taste in music because I know she had a lot to do with the soundtrack. We had Mike Shinoda in from Linkin Park the other day talking about how he was going to meet her, and he was psyched to be on the soundtrack. One of our favorite bands, Paramore, is on it, and you also have a song on the soundtrack. How did that happen?
I'm still not really sure, to be honest. I've never really done music before. I mean, I played in like just open mics and bars and stuff for a few years. But I mean, I'd never been in the studio. I'd never recorded anything other than on my computer. And Catherine somehow got hold of a CD. I think one of the other cast gave a CD, and she put it in the cut. and it kind of fitted with the movie. And I like the whole idea of it being a sort of secret, you know, like one of those sort of Easter egg type things in the movie, and have it like non-credited. But then as soon as the company found out, they're like, oh no, this is a great tool.
Of course.
By the way,
since we announced that we were having you on, we have received questions from 7,000 people. It's like we've never done an interview before. But Casey, one of the people who works here, read an interview with you where you said you couldn't get a date as of about last year.
Yeah, that was pretty much true.
But couldn't get a date.
Fatty last year as well.
What's that?
I was really fat last year as well.
Okay, all right. I didn't hear that part, but okay. Good.
So star in a hit movie and drop 100 pounds, you'll get chicks. That's the lesson that we're learning here.
You just need to get approval from Stephanie Meyer. That's it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
We also, when we knew we were having you on, invited our listeners who might want to ask you their own question to submit them. And yesterday we spoke with one of our listeners named Jessica, who actually drove down here from Brea to Los Angeles this morning to be in the studio. Jessica's in the room with us right now, Robert, and we said she'd have the opportunity to talk to you and ask her question. Jessica, you're on with your boyfriend.
Oh, yes. So I've been waiting for. hi, Robert. My question is, what is the creepiest thing a fan has done to get your attention?
Because your fans crazy.
They were out front when we were driving in at 5 this morning.
out front of a radio station.
Yeah.
I'm not even at.
Yeah,
I
and
know.
We said, and yes. We kept saying on the phone. He's on the phone. We're telling you he's on the phone. We're not trying to lead you on. He's on the phone.
And they were saying that's close enough. That's close enough. His voice is going to be going through a wire that goes behind your building.
So what creepy has happened from a fan?
A few little things. I was doing this, some part of the promotional tour in a city somewhere, and these four girls came up. They kept scratching their necks until there were two little bleeding scabs.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
And they were like, "We've done this for you, Edward. We've done this for you."
Did they start shouting, "Suck it"? Anything like that?
Yeah, it was for a meeting of about 3 seconds, though, so I was kind of like, oh, great, yeah, oh, thanks, nice to meet you.
Does it take I mean, I know you're an actor and you've done a bunch of other roles, Robert, but does it take something to convince yourself that you're playing a vampire to be able to do it convincingly? There has to be part of you that goes, this is just weird. What am I doing?
Oh, yeah, you think that the whole time. no, I mean, it is. It takes a little bit more. You know, you have to just sort of commit to something. I wasn't. I don't know if I was really even playing a vampire. I mean, I just kind of took the elements of the sort of basic elements, thinking, you know, he lives forever. He has 1,000 times more strength and speed than a human, and an unquenchable thirst for blood.
Sure, there's all that. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just got to take that into account, I guess.
I know you have to go in a minute, but one thing I haven't heard anybody talk about this week, and maybe you know, Robert, is what is the schedule going to be for the movies made from the other books? When will they be coming out?
Oh, I guess that will all be decided tomorrow.
Okay, based on the box office.
Yeah, gee, I wonder how it'll do. Yeah. One other thing, I just want to give you a heads up because you're from England.
Mm-hmm.
You're scheduled to go on the Tyra Banks show at some point. She is the American devil. Don't do it. Honestly,
my
run.
Favorite TV.
Run. Run from Tyra. She's the devil. Okay, that's it. That's my advice.
Cool.
All right, Robert Pattinson has been our guest. The movie is called Twilight. It opens up tomorrow. Jessica, was it fun? Did you have a good time?
Oh, yes. I had a lot of fun.
Amazing.
We're going to give you a chance to say goodbye to Robert then on behalf of all of us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Goodbye, Robert. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Goodbye, Jessica. It was very nice speaking with you.
Goes right into her sex voice. She didn't use that with us. No sex voice for us.
Sure did.
Thank you, Robert. That is STP, and the reason we're playing that is because STP is playing night number one of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
That's right.
How about that?
All of the music that we play between now and the end of the show will be from bands that are playing night number one.
Cool.
Which means you've heard AFI and STP. You can stand by for The Offspring, Rise Against, Stain, 3 Days Grace, Slightly Stupid, Hollywood Undead. It's a tremendous lineup. One night announced so far, and that's Saturday, December 13th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Night number two announced this afternoon on the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. That program that you promised you'd never tune into, that you were going to boycott because you don't like Kevin and Bean in the afternoon? Ha! Today you're going to have to listen to find out about night number two.
Or go online right afterwards. Okay. Are the fires dead this latest round?
Tell me they are.
Yeah,
there are three major Southern California wildfires the last couple of weeks. The Key Fire, which is the biggest one, is 95% contained right now. And that's obviously good news because that was a terrible, terrible fire. But I don't understand why Doug Kriegel from Channel 4 has wanted to come on today, because it just doesn't seem like – do we have Doug standing by? Because I don't understand what he's doing out there today.
It's Firewatch 2008.
Doug?
Here I am in the middle of the Key Fire. Reporting live.
Doug?
Yes, Kevin and Peyton. Here's a live report from the Tea Fire.
I thought the fires were about 95% out.
No, it's a raging inferno. As you can hear the flames crackling behind me.
I hear someone walking.
And I hear
birds walking through the fire.
Oh. I hear birds chirping in the trees because there's no fire.
Why are you doing that?
I'm not. That's the roaring fire.
That was you doing that with your mouth.
Doug Kriegel, Firewatch, do that.
Now, a week ago, a very serious situation. Over 200 homes were destroyed. This is the one that they think the kids with the bonfire got started. But now the firefighters have worked hard and the fire is out and it's safe for you to go home, Doug. You don't have to be out there broadcasting anymore.
No, it's a raging inferno here in the Tea Fire.
Well, those birds are having a great time in that raging inferno. Doug?
You can hear the flames behind me.
If there were flames there eating up the oxygen, you would be dead. You can't breathe in the best of situations.
That's why they sent me in. I need very little air.
You what?
I need very little air.
You need very...
very little air.
Air, okay.
Little air. It does sound like maybe you're addicted to the adrenaline rush of covering an emergency and you can't deal with the fact that it's over.
This is the first time they've sent me out in a real story in 25 years.
That's true. You usually get the crap assignments, don't you?
Usually I'm interviewing people eating yogurt, asking them how hot it is. but this is a real story.
Okay, but...
I'm not stopping until it's completely covered.
But, it is pretty much... This particular one is pretty much covered.
Behind me, you can see the destruction caused by this horrible disaster.
Right, but it's not ongoing.
Did
Channel 4 send you out, or did you go on your own?
No, I'm out here on my own. They've asked me to come back to the station, and I told them, no way.
So there's not even a camera crew? You're not even reporting for Channel 4? You're just standing in it?
But imagine if you can, behind me, the devastation ran behind the fire.
Well, unfortunately, those pictures are still, pretty much imprinted in our brains from this past week. But today...
it's horrible.
Well...
destruction and fire and flames and smoke.
Right. Right.
Human lives destroyed.
Right. But you have to go home, Doug. It's over. There'll be another one, all right?
There's a guy out here who lost his entire home.
Oh, no.
Sir, please, can you come here, please, sir? Sir, please, come here.
Are you chasing someone?
Chasing the poor guy who's just trying to get away.
Don't chase.
Sir, it wasn't your home. Wasn't your home leveled to the ground?
Yes, it was. My entire house burned to the ground, Marty. We need to go back to the future and make my home out of something fireproof.
Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future. His home built, burned to the ground.
Why was he running from you?
Marty, we have to get in the DeLorean. Go back and place a wager on the fact that my house will be burnt to the ground.
You don't want to stop the fire from burning it?
No, I need to make some money.
Okay, all right.
I need to build a new house.
What are the chances?
Why don't you go back and get more fire insurance?
That's a good idea.
Also a good idea.
The only guy out there with Doug Kriegel happens to be Christopher Lloyd. What are the chances of that?
That's a happy coincidence for me.
All right, well, good reporting, Craig. Craig. Doug.
Thank you, Steve.
And that, of course, the Offspring. They're playing night number one of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. It is December 13th, Gibson Amphitheater. The Offspring, Stone Temple Pilots, Rise Against, AFI, Stain, 3 Days Grace, Slightly Stupid, Hollywood Undead. And night number two details are coming this afternoon at 5 o'clock.
All right.
Mm. Of course, it's that magical time of the year where the Acoustic Christmas shows are upon us, as is Miss Double December competition.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait till next week.
Wow.
We start talking.
This may be the best batch ever.
Yep. I think so, too.
Yep.
So far, it's pretty strong.
Cold serious.
Pretty strong. Next week, we'll be talking to the finalists. We're going to narrow it down after the deadline Monday night at midnight. So you've got until then, ladies, if you're 21 and up and want to apply to be Miss Double D Summer, you can get those details at KROQ.com. Then next week, we whittle it down to top 10, and the KROQ audience gets to vote. And then we have a big party and celebration where we crown Miss Double December 2009. It's very, very exciting. You can get all those details at KROQ.com. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat now for Thursday, 7:52. What's going on?
The first 10 that entered could have been our top 10 easily. Wow. Usually we have to weed through hundreds of applications in order to find the top 10.
It's a nice problem to have.
The first 10 girls, like, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Let's get 25 finalists then.
You know? I haven't seen any fat chicks this year either, by the way, because there usually, invariably, there are some double Ds out there who, you know,
are supported by a double D body.
Exactly. Haven't seen any of that this year.
And their asses are double L's.
They are self-selecting this group, which I appreciate.
Yeah. Strong batch. Speaking of smoking hot women, Megan Fox in the news. Talking to People magazine, she said she can't wait to become Mrs. Brian Austin Green.
Oh.
Wow.
She's very busy. She says planning a very intimate wedding ceremony that will be attended by only a few friends. Don't expect a lavish, star-studded wedding.
Okay.
Brian Austin Green was asked about the wedding, and he said, when he stands next to his bride-to-be, she makes him feel like it's Beauty and the Beast. Right.
Oh, dude, lame.
He's got a point.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about Beauty and the Beast. They don't belong together until the Beast becomes human again.
Right.
So when are you going to change Brian Austin Green?
Well, that's a nice thing to say. I'm sure Brian Austin Green, who's probably spent his whole life being told he's a beautiful person as well, doesn't really feel like
the Beast. Think he's
lying. Yeah.
Think he's lying, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
That saddens me.
I'm a beast.
That story.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
He's not a beast. I'm a beast. Let's be honest.
Talk about a story that makes me happier. Paris Hilton apparently has broken up with Benji Madden. People magazine says that the arrow-headed heiress has indeed split from her boyfriend of 9 months because they wanted completely different things. Paris wanted to bang a lot of different guys on video. Benji didn't want to bang any guys.
What? On video.
The word was that the breakup wasn't ugly, but there is no hope for reconciliation. So the rumors about Paris Hilton flirting with Stavros Niarchos over the weekend look actually be true, as if she's fishing for new...
Was he her former?
Yeah, she was boyfriend? Her ex-boyfriend. Okay. Apparently they are being seen together again. You know, that happens so often with women, especially. Once they break up with a dude, they don't want to be alone. They go back to the old dude. And the old dude says, all right, I'll be your consolation wang for a while.
Now, is Nicole going to have to break up with Joel now? Because you know how she and Paris always like to do everything together.
Well, I think Paris is going to have a new BFF soon, so it won't really matter.
That's true. I forgot she's auditioning.
That's right. Apparently, it's running rampant, this trend of these bimbo celebrities going back to ex-boyfriends. Samantha Ronson, apparently, in tears the other night.
Uh-oh.
Lindsay Lohan was seen hanging out with her ex-boyfriend, Callum Best, while they were in England this week. Sam found out about it and apparently left the club where she was DJing in tears.
Yeah.
Source says there's some serious problems between the two lesbots, who have been inseparable since initially starting their relationship, but now starting to show a little wear and tear around the foundation. A little crumbling foundation. You know what would fix that? Some Mighty Putty. Just stick that right in the foundation, shore it right back up again. Good as new.
And a penis?
Well, sure, there's that too.
Yeah.
And Katie Holmes is constantly being haunted by Tom Cruise's ex-wife, Nicole Kidman. This is a funny story in Us Weekly magazine. You know, Katie is the star on Broadway of All My Sons.
That's right.
And so she thinks that's just, you know, a shining achievement for her, and Tom's been doting on her while they're there in New York. But on the back of the program that everyone gets handed when they go into All My Sons, the playbill, Nicole Kidman is in a Chanel ad on the back of it. So every time she looks out in the audience, she sees people reading the playbill, the big picture of Nicole Kidman smoking hot for Chanel on the back of the playbill.
Oh, my God. Really?
I'm surprised Tom Cruise hasn't taken a Sharpie to all of them.
Drawn mustaches on him.
It does have to be weird if your husband or wife's ex is really famous. I mean, they watch TV like everybody else. They can't avoid all the ads for Australia and all of her various appearances on talk shows. I mean, it just must be a little awkward how fast you have to jump for the remote sometimes.
I'm really looking forward to that Australia.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I'm not a big, sweeping, epic, romantic movie kind of guy, but it looks really good.
Right. And bad.
every movie he makes so far has been great. So you gotta give him the benefit of the doubt that he can pull it off.
Doesn't make him too often.
When does that come out?
That's for sure. This month or within the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Jessica Simpson said her marriage to Nick Lachey didn't work out, but it was very positive for her because it gave her a lot of new material for her songwriting.
What?
She said she wrote down every emotion she felt during the difficult divorce in a diary and then used those intimate thoughts as subject matter for her new album.
Boobies!
What?
Songs are so moving that she can't fill an Indian casino.
That did happen.
She was playing an Indian casino out in Ontario, I think it was. Somewhere out there. And not only was it half full, but the casino was giving free tickets to people who got into buffet lines there.
Aww. Yeah. Yeah.
That's sad.
To fail in country music, do you have any idea how bad you have to be?
Especially as a hot chick.
I know. Usually that's a guarantee. That's a slam dunk.
You don't have to be able to sing.
Nope. Yeah. If you look good on the album cover, they will come. But not for her. You know,
yeah,
they
you
won't
know
show
what you
up.
Mean. Yeah, of course.
Speaking of which, Taylor Swift has the number one album in America right now.
It's fine with me. Never heard it. She's hot.
But she says, here's another one of these stories. She wasn't attractive or popular while she was growing up. What is she, 12? When was she growing up?
I think she's 19 now.
Right, yeah. Well, she's still growing up.
Only a few years ago.
Yeah.
Apparently, all the other girls used to tease her in school. They thought she was weird, and when she tried to sit down at a table at lunch, they would all get up and move to a different table. Even though she's a huge star now, she still doesn't consider herself one of the cool kids and carries those emotional scars with her.
I'm not the biggest rocket surgeon.
I don't need any more of these stories of the models saying, oh, when I was a kid, I was ugly. Oh, I was fugly. No one liked me. Oh, I was weird. No one liked... Shut up. Shut up. You're 19. You have the number one CD in the world. Heal. Whatever your emotional scars are, heal them immediately.
God, I hate you so much.
Try to be not attractive your whole life. Now shut up.
Yeah.
That's right.
She's
smoking hot. At least you grew out of it.
But apparently she wasn't always so. How much could she have changed?
How much?
Madness. Take a look at the top 10 CDs today, shall we? Just released the top 10 CDs ranked by Billboard. As I mentioned, Taylor Swift had the number one album in America. David Archuleta is number two, the guy from American Idol.
He has a CD on there?
Yes, he does.
I'd like to point out, I did not buy it. You guys accused me of buying everything. No interest in David Archuleta's music.
Oh, please.
Now, that's what I call music. Volume 29 is number three. T-Pain is number four. Twilight soundtrack, 5. AC/DC, Black Ice, number 6. High School Musical 3 soundtrack was 7. Enya. It's got a new CD.
Did you say Enya?
In the top 10, yes. Huh. Christina Aguilera is number 9, and T.I. with Paper Trail, number 10. That's your top 10 CDs in America this week. Take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Nadine Velasquez from My Name is Earl is 30. Joshua Gomez from Chuck, he plays Morgan on that show, is 33. Have you seen, I'm going to blank on her name now, Chuck's old girlfriend who's come back to the show the past couple weeks?
No, I haven't.
Jordana Brewster.
Yes.
Oh,
she's strong.
Come on. And so her and the smoking hot Australian broad who plays his CIA handler, they're all vying over Chuck and fighting over him. That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Sendog of Cypress Hills, 43, as is Mike D of the Beastie Boys. 43 years old today.
We don't have time to tell you what went wrong there.
Sean Young is 49. Bo Derek is 52. Original host of The Family Feud, Richard Dawson, is 76. And one of my favorite all-time singers with one of my favorite all-time songs, Norman Greenbaum.
I don't know that name.
Yes, Norman Greenbaum.
I don't know that name.
You know him.
I don't.
You know him.
All right.
Had a little smash hit called Spirit in the Sky. Hit it, Steve. And I lay me
down to die. Oh, I heard that. Going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. Spirit in the sky. Where am I going to go when I die? When I die. When I die and your name is at rest, I'm going to go to the place that's the best. That's just not good.
Apollo 13, that's great.
That's a great song, Kevin. I know you hate old, but even you have to admit that song still sounds great.
Not good.
Any movie they ever make about the 1960s, that song will be played at some point. Usually someone's driving a really cool car down the street or in the Apollo 13, all the guys get into the spaceship.
That's awesome. Just not good.
It's awesome. We'll play its entirety soon.
That's the man, Ralph. Good.
Or I'll sing it. I'll sing it its entirety.
Nope.
I think I will. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
If you knew that visiting your grandparents could change the world, would you do it? Of course you would. You'd have to be a douche nozzle not to.
All right, listen up, everybody. My name is Sarah Silverman, and I'm about to blind you with the truth.
It's a cow's anus, and he talks out of it like a star.
I'm Matt Damon.
She said she's Matt Damon.
In a couple of days, Paris Hilton is going to jail. I heard that to make her feel, like, more comfortable in prison, the guards are going to paint the bars to look like penises. I just worry that she's going to break her teeth on those things.
It's not like I go around speaking Hebrew to every guy with an oily nose.
Don't be a douche, what would Jesus do? He'd say, give the Jew girl toys.
Watch new episodes of her big hit TV show, The Sarah Silverman Program, Thursday nights at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Please say hello to Sarah Silverman.
Well, she's only one of the best women in the world ever, and Sarah joins us in the studio on the world-famous K-Rock right now. Hello, girlfriend. How are you?
That was so neat. I can't believe you guys. Somebody
now you know
put
what
that together.
It was our
when
you die, you know what it's going to be like. Yeah, it'll be a warm tribute to you. It'll be like a career retrospective just for you, Sarah. That's what you've just enjoyed.
Wow, I feel like I've accomplished something.
Sounds like you have, doesn't it? Whether you have,
is it misleading?
No, it sounds like it.
No.
I saw Jesus's magic. That was good. You did accomplish something. I've seen your TV show.
Well,
you're doing
wonderful.
Okay. You're doing good, and your coat is to die for.
I love her coat.
We've been told.
That's the first thing. Of course you did, Sarah.
That's the first.
Let me get the business out of the way first. Sarah is going to be in town for a rare appearance on stage this weekend at Club Nokia in downtown L.A. You have some very special friends that are going to be joining you for two big shows tomorrow night. Ticketmaster.com. Who's going to be on the stage with you and why, Sarah?
Well, they're all my friends. There's some of my best friends, and they're all on the show in one capacity or another. Mark Cohen, who plays my father, who is a big episode tonight where it turns out he's alive.
He's alive and you didn't know it?
Yeah, he faked his death so he could follow the Celtics. And then we end up becoming a Lisa Loeb cover band called the Loeb Trotters. It's a good episode and it's heartwarming. But Mark is he's only 10 years older than me, but he plays my dad on the show.
All right.
Because I look so young.
You do. I mean, you're like 8.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm 8. And Steve Agee, who plays Steve on the show, and Brian Posehn, who plays Brian on the show. And Steve is going to show some hilarious videos he's made, and then Brian, you know, will do like 20 minutes of stand-up.
And are you bringing your guitar? You always do, right?
Yeah. I'm a guitar act. Why don't you just say it?
Well, I'm saying you're a guitar act. But we asked you to bring one this morning. You didn't. That's all I did.
Nobody
I didn't notice.
Told me. I didn't
what?
Know. My people did not convince.
They must be fired.
You don't have a guitar hanging around K-Rock?
I don't have one in my
Nope. Room, so we have a drum kit. You want to play drums? We have it in the other room.
I just wrote a song on drums.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, I write all my songs on drums first.
Club Nokia, downtown LA, Ticketmaster.com. That is two shows tomorrow night at 7 and 9:30. All right, let me run a couple other things by you, Sarah, and you tell us whether they're true or not, because we like to catch up with you with all the news and all the gossip since the last time you ran.
I wish I wasn't so nasal.
Sarah,
that was not
Silverman,
one of the questions.
I know,
Sarah Silverman
I
gets $2.5 million for book deal is one report on the internet this week.
Nice job.
Yeah, if I write it, I have to write it though.
Well, that's usually how those deals work.
But, yeah. But if you write it, they'll give you $2.5 million.
My family seems to think I've won the lottery.
Uh huh.
They don't understand. I have to write a book to get this money.
Right, but.
That's incredible.
Are you considering? I mean, it sounds like you're not sure if you're going to do it.
Oh, no, I'm doing it.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's daunting.
To write a book.
Yeah,
all right.
Of course
but it's
it
been,
is.
It's been kind of cathartic. I don't know.
What kind of book do you want to write? Is it an actual autobiography or is it going to be comedy junk?
No, it's going to be more personal essays. I started, you know, and it's ending up being so depressing that I feel like I should scrap it and write some sort of like
start again
buy the cash register book. But yeah, it's like my too fat to fish.
I don't get that reference. I'm not smart enough to get that reference. Oh, okay.
It just came out.
Okay, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, look, you got to know the room you're in, and I'm not.
You're so right, yeah. And I'm so sorry.
That's my bad.
It's like my.
Everybody poops.
Judy Garland's.
Oh. It's your everybody poops. I like it.
Okay.
Is it that we've had
Heather
a lot of guests?
Two mommies.
Okay.
Yeah. We've had a lot of guests on who have written books. They talk about what a pain in the ass it is and how it's really actual work. Do you wake up in the morning and you're faced with, this is my job. I have to step into the other room and sit down at the keyboard and just start typing.
Yeah, because unless I have like a schedule, I will not do it.
Right.
That's what I always ask, like, rock stars and stuff. I always go, if I'd just play video games all day if I had the option, you know, if I didn't have a schedule that I had to do, I would destroy myself.
You know what helps is I just go, like, am I going to sit and write or I can work out? And then I write 5 pages.
That's a good option. That's smart.
I like it. All right. Thing two, and Sarah Silverman is in studio here with us on the world famous K-Rock this morning. Silverman enjoys playing Scrabble on the internet. One of her regular opponents is Alyssa Milano, who lives in the same building as she does. True or false?
We haven't had a game in a while, but, well, we have a game actually like sitting dormant right now, but yes.
Wow.
Hmm. And who plays Scrabble on the internet and why?
Why do I play Scrabble on the internet?
Why do you play Scrabble on the internet with somebody who's in your building? Doesn't it seem like you could walk up or she could walk down or whatever, however it works?
Well, the great thing about Scrabble on the internet is, you know, you can take your turn whenever, 4 a.m. or whatever, and then it's...
Oh, I see.
And then it's
and then
her
she
turn.
Does it, and then she waits for a couple days till you do.
Yeah.
But how do you stop the other person from cheating? How do you know what they have, what letters that they have? You don't see them, right?
Yeah, no. I don't know. I guess that you could cheat, but it's Scrabble
players are very honorable. That's what I've found.
Yeah.
Because I would never play a word that wasn't at least 70 points if I had the opportunity to pick any letters and do it whatever I felt like.
No, you can't pick any letters. Once you've used letters, this is unbelievable radio, by the way.
No, it automatically
gives you shuffled, you know, new letters. You don't pick your own.
So it's hard to cheat. They make it hard to cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you can cheat.
You can't. I mean, you can...
Why is that the first thing you think of, Bean? Is that you can't trust someone else because they'll cheat?
I just feel like there must be a flaw somehow in the system because Internet Scrabble just seems like it's too sketchy. I don't know.
People who don't trust aren't trustworthy.
Exactly.
That's true. That's a good point.
Exactly.
How is your follow-up question about Scrabble and not about Alyssa Milano is my question.
That was my next question.
Yeah, have you ever seen her naked was going to be my last question on this topic.
I have not seen her naked, but I've seen her in form-fitting clothing and she's in she's so beautiful.
She is.
Ridiculous.
Can you
and
take a picture
really
for us?
Really smart.
Would you mind?
Sure.
Take a photo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. All right. We have to take a break. We have more questions. There's much to catch up on with Sarah No Guitar Silverman. She is in our studio, Club Nokia downtown. Two big
Heads
shows tomorrow
roll.
Night at 7 and 9:30. Get tickets through Ticketmaster. We'll return right after this in the world.
Wow, Doug. Marijuana really expands your mind. Like, one thing I realized when I was high is that bacon spelled backwards is no cab, which is exactly what black people can get.
That's an excellent point, Sarah.
That's why we like Sarah Silverman's show, because it opens our eyes to things we hadn't thought of before.
Thank you.
In front of our face, and we didn't even think of it. Wow.
Sarah Silverman's
TV show airs Thursday night. Hey, tonight's Thursday night at 10:30 on the Comedy Central, and you can see Sarah live on stage with friends at Club Nokia. That's downtown L.A. tomorrow night for two big shows. Ticketmaster.com is where you can go. Or would this be a good time to give away the tickets?
Sure.
Or you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take three winners, starting with caller 20. Three winners get two tickets each to see Sarah in concert tomorrow.
I wonder if they're good tickets. I hope they're good tickets.
Probably not.
No way to tell.
We generally don't give away good tickets. I mean, as a general rule.
I don't think there's really bad seats. I don't know.
No, not
that's a pretty small club.
Yeah, it's a pretty small place.
Club.
Yeah.
Sarah, you had some YouTube videos since the last time we saw you that were very widely circulated, very popular, where you were trying to get out the vote for your man Barack Obama. How come you got so involved this time around?
Well,
she's in love.
I do love that Barack
because he's young and hot.
Oh, you know what I was thinking? This is so jokey, but I thought of this, and then he has the grace and the posture of Fred Astaire.
Mm-hmm.
He has the goodness of Fred Rogers, And no. then he has the complexion of Fred Sanford. Is that good?
Wow.
Zing.
He's got the Fred trifecta.
Nicely done.
I was so happy to do this because it was something I felt like I wish I could do something, but what am I going to do? And even if I did something, like, people who have any interest in me are already going to vote for him probably. And
right.
So who are you going to affect?
Who are you trying to convince then?
The kids to go tell their grandparents.
Oh, that's what it was. That's right. Yeah, that's what it was.
Did you see Diddy's video? Have you seen his stuff online? Yeah.
What is it?
Well, it's him, his thoughts on different things, and he is a moron of the biggest degree. But he thinks he's intelligent and, you know, everyone's following what he says. And he felt like it was his vote that put Barack Obama over the top.
Probably
he's
was.
The one that made it happen.
Don't forget how much he got his 2-year-old involved in the election, Kevin.
Yep. Obama. Say Obama.
Obama.
Say Obama.
Obama.
Say Obama.
Osama.
No, baby, look.
Said Osama, by
Lala,
that.
Say Obama.
Obama.
President.
This goes on for like 4 minutes, Sarah. He
the
doesn't
kid said
quit.
Obama.
Right.
Leave him alone.
The kid said it first time.
Yes, he did.
Why do you continue? Well, he drives us crazy. He drives us out of
I mean,
mind.
You should have seen what was edited out. He had a very...
Nothing.
Stern hand.
He had nothing
room.
Out. If you have half of an afternoon, you have to search Diddy and video on YouTube, and it will... You'll watch it and you'll go,
I will. I search
no
so
way.
Much on YouTube all the time. I waste so much time. I literally will just write, woman falling, and watch 50 videos and cry. It's so bad. I don't know what comes over me.
It's so bad. It's so much better than most TV shows, though, YouTube. A half hour spent on YouTube is more entertaining than most programs that are on television.
Tears.
I firmly believe that. I mean, really, it's true. Are you in love with Hot Cheetos like we are, Sarah? Do you have an opinion on Hot Cheetos?
Ooh, I remember when Hot Cheetos first came along. They were huge in kind of urban area high schools.
Yes,
and by urban,
correct.
You mean...
People of color and low income. I call it
when I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
Oh.
I just love hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
That's a school in Pasadena where they banned hot Cheetos, and it's very sad because those kids now, very sad.
They grow up to be people who vote for Prop 8. They like to keep their gay sex on the down low.
Wow. We're learning a lot here today.
How about that?
This is very racist feeling.
Do you have any boyfriend news for us today, Sarah? Anything you can break on that front? What's going on there?
Well, it's confusing at best.
We're taking it slow.
All right.
It's Jimmy Kimmel?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are
Oh, is that your boyfriend?
Oh,
well,
I
we feel
sure
weird
who.
Asking about it because he's a friend of ours and we don't really
right.
know.
But
you
it's
know,
so
we're...
weird to see you guys with the paparazzi all over you and stuff like lately. It's just been weird.
He's a fag.
No,
it is.
No, that's not true.
Oh.
That's not true.
No.
It's weird to you too?
Yeah, it's so weird and gross. But, and that's just his balls. Jimmy was yelling at me for being,
go ahead, sir.
For anything. Is that what you're
yes,
going to say?
That would be a good punchline for anything.
Yeah.
Jimmy was yelling at you for.
Why do I feel like that could be a good, if I may, sound drop or whatever you call it?
We'll do
it
again because I don't think it was clear.
And I'm talking about his balls. No, you.
All right, you got that? All right, we got it.
That's a good one.
He was making fun of me for being Jewish the other night. He was yelling at me for being Jewish.
And you're,
well, isn't it a little late in the game for that?
You're supposed to do what about that?
He said he said you need pills to breathe and glasses to see.
Okay.
I thought that was funny. It's true.
It's all true.
I don't think it's just Jewish people though.
Well, it's actually true for him as well, but
yeah, well.
It was funnier just him yelling at me for being Jewish.
Sarah, do you find being in a high-profile Us Weekly-type relationship on and off for the last few years that now people on the street come up to you and they feel like it's their right to demand you tell them what's going on, like somehow they're invested in your happiness?
Yes, people, like, grab me. It's so weird. Or, like, one time when we were first hanging out again, we were walking around in New York, and, like, strangers would be like, oh, yay!
Happy
happier
angry.
About it than you were?
Like, don't get your hopes up. We don't know.
We're not sure yet. We're just walking.
I know. People are acting like we're being coy, but it's just like, what are we going to do? Like, announce, like, we're back to get, you know, we're just, yeah. What if it doesn't work out? I don't know.
I think you should
you
make an announcement.
A lot of hearts.
You should make an announcement every time you think
have
something
a fight
else.
Or
might not work.
I'm remaining hopeful. Today was a good day. Dear E.
Do a blog on E where you can tell everybody where you stand with
that
Jim.
That would be funny.
All right. Sarah Silverman and Friends is tomorrow night, Friday, November 21st, 7 o'clock at 9:30. Two big shows, all new material, Sarah has
Don't
said.
Don't no. say all, that. So you, why would so you say get, that? That's you not get, true.
You get tickets for both shows, and you'll see
you should, yeah.
a completely different show.
That's if not you, true.
That's not true.
If you've ever seen Sarah before, forget about it. This is going to be 10 times better. All new stuff, all way better.
You guys, don't set them up. Their expectations. Just keep your expectations at a reasonable level and just go have fun. It's going to be loosey-goosey. You'll see, like, I'll do some class, Silverman classics and
sure.
some new stuff.
How?
And that's
what's the
just
percentage?
Balls.
It doesn't work for everything.
It doesn't work in every situation, no.
No, sorry.
Oh, that was a good attempt.
It was an attempt.
I tried. I thought I'd work it in. Try to get it started. As the catchphrase.
Plus, if you haven't watched the Sarah Silverman show, it is one of our favorites. We don't talk about it enough on this show, but we all watch it and love
error.
It,
yeah.
honestly.
It is very funny.
Thank
so,
you.
I guess that's thank you.
And it's not the finale tonight, like they keep saying in the TV guide.
It's you and your dad in a band.
There's three more episodes left. Yeah, and on DirecTV, it's on at 9:30.
9:30.
Yeah, but it's.
I thought it would be 3 hours. It's 10:30 on Comedy Central. It's on 9:30 here.
Yes, I don't understand why, but please just check some sort of guide or listing.
You can do that. You can just put the name.
Just put the name in your
and
TiVo.
Just do it. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
you'll get it all. But it's very worth watching. It's super funny. She has a lot of music. She talks about pot a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she talks about race a lot. She talks about homeless people. I mean, she touches people. All the very important topics.
I'm like Oprah.
You're like Oprah. Only on the negative side and white. But we like you better than we like Oprah. So.
Thank you.
You're
it's
welcome.
Not a competition.
Okay.
We're both wonderful.
Okay. Thank you for coming in, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you, fellas.
Of course. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Damn it.
At 8:42. Lisa is
swatting away.
Swatting the gnats.
Swatting gnats.
We have gnats in the studios of K-Rock, and they're all over the place, and we can barely see each other through them.
What's going on? How are they getting in? Do they just follow Tammy Heidi in from the parking lot?
They're multiplying at a rate like I've never seen before. It's very scary.
That seems scary. That's bad. We made a big announcement this morning just after 7 a.m. If you weren't with us, then it bears repeating. It's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. Yep, it's that time of year already. Night number one is going to be Saturday, December the 13th at the Gibson Amphitheater. It is a tremendous lineup for night number one, including a little band called The Offspring. Also, the reunited Stone Temple Pilots are going to be on the bill. How about some Rise Against? We got AFI playing. They're always great. Stained is back. Remember we did that Breakfast with Stained? Remember how good they were?
Yeah.
Very,
mm-hmm.
very talented musicians.
I remember AFI playing a Weenie Roast, and a fan behind me jumped out of her seat when the band came on, and she had a full glass of beer. Full, I mean, 16 ounces. Just took a shower, and it went right over my head. I've never been more wet. I was more wet with beer than I was in the shower, you know, that morning.
And that's just his balls.
Nope, yeah, didn't work
there. There we go.
You got to find that fan at Acoustic Christmas and return the favor when AFI is on stage. Lisa, your favorite, 3 Days Grace, is going to be there.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Slightly Stupid is on the bill. Hollywood Undead is playing. I mean, it's a great lineup, and soon you will be hearing ticket information, but that's the lineup for night number one, December 13th at the Gibson Amphitheater. I know you're thinking to yourself, but Kevin and Bean, isn't it always two nights? And it is. And we are going to have the information on night number two this afternoon on Kevin and Bean's Cinco de la Tarde just after 5 o'clock. So you will be up to speed with everything we know to share with you about this year's concerts as of the end of today.
Night number two this afternoon at 5. Night number one here.
Two nights that K-Rock puts on quite a show. Be sure to get your tickets if you'd like to go. But once a calamity ever so great occurred when K-Rock and Christmas met by mistake.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
Here's a quick look at some of the fun we have every holiday season.
Night one.
La, 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 la.
The Offspring.
With a thousand lies in a good taste.
Banging hammers in my head.
Warm yourself by the fire, son.
Rise Against.
But we ran away.
special appearance.
You having a good holiday festival, Los Angeles?
From AFI. Sting. Almost Acoustic Christmas.
3 days grace.
Maybe we'll turn it around, cause it's not too late.
Slightly Stupid.
Hollywood Undead.
And
I am smelling like a rose.
Stone Temple Pilots.
That's our Christmas show, and we'd like to thank you for sharing this evening with us.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, 2008, Night 1.
Saturday, December 13th.
Gibson Amphitheater.
Keep listening for the on-sale info.
Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Junior Heritage Center, thanks to the bands and their labels.
Details on Night 2, today at 5.
K-Rock.
If you missed the details moments ago on the K-Rock Almost Christmas 2008, just announced this morning, Saturday night number one is December 13th. You can get those details at krock.com. And don't forget, we'll have details on night number two this afternoon between 5 and 6. Ralph, it's the final showbiz beat for Thursday morning. What do you got for us?
I got things.
All right.
I got Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Best actor ever?
Just being creepy as creepy can be. Do you ever see that video where he's on some Italian show or whatever, or it's a Mexican talk show or whatever, and he starts dancing with one of the co-hosts?
No.
And just sports an enormous freaking tent in his sweatpants? The guy's sex drive cannot be dampened by anything. And thus, I bring you to this Newsweek interview, where a Newsweek reporter had to do a phone interview with Jean-Claude Van Damme about his new movie, JCVD.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a fake biopic about Van Damme, and it's sort of an action comedy thing. Anyway, it's getting a lot of good reviews, saying it's actually very funny.
And he plays a character called Jean-Claude Van Damme, but he's not really playing himself, right?
Right.
Okay.
So this woman has to interview Van Damme. She's 22 years old, reporter for Newsweek. And let me just read you the conversation, how it went.
Okay?
You really revealed yourself in the movie, Jean-Claude Van Damme. He answers, I really opened myself up in JCVD. I peeled back the skin of the fruit, cut the pulp, and then took that very hard seed. In this film, I cut that hard seed, and inside the seed was kind of a liquid cream substance of a man that I am, or the woman that you are.
Wow!
The clearly stunned reporter replies with, okay. That's all. He responds with, it was like being naked. I would love to be naked in front of you. And she says, well, and he goes, well, not being naked, being naked. I say such things in Hong Kong and they thought I was being a crazy Frenchman. Being naked of protection, I meant. So you have no regrets at all? Believe me, I've done some very good stuff and some very crazy stuff, and I don't regret the crazy stuff. So are you in New York? Yes, I am, she responds.
No.
Are you 27? 32? I'm 22. Oh, F, that is very young. Will you come to the premiere? I don't know. When is it? I don't know, but you will wear all black. A black dress and black high heels.
What?
She responds. He says, you can come find me. I will be the one with the very broad shoulders, dark hair, and a simple suit. We can have some champagne, you and me. This is an interview for Newsweek.
Dude.
Over the phone.
I love him. He's crazy.
This is Gene Simmons.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here. What's up, Gene?
Hi, I think Jean-Claude Van Damme's the greatest man ever.
Yeah,
I
bet you
the
do.
Best words I've ever heard.
Yeah. Sounds like an interview Gene would give. Yeah, that's spectacular. Fans of Sex and the City may be disappointed to hear that in the next movie installment of their hit cable TV show, one of the four ladies will die.
What?
Horseface?
One insider says that there's a strong possibility one of the main characters will be killed off in the next sequel, but no one knows just who will get the axe.
The old lesbian?
No one knows. Lisa, are you sad?
That seems anti-Sex in the City.
There may be a clue, however, in the script. Apparently, one of the characters dies of hoof and mouth disease. So I'm thinking I can guess which one of the girls may be in danger. Megan Fox.
Yes?
Says she can't wait to become Mrs. Brian Austin Green. However, she says you can't expect a star-studded, lavish wedding from the couple. She told People magazine she's going to plan a very intimate ceremony with just a few friends and a roving tattoo artist. No.
No, I'd be against that.
Apparently, Brian Austin Green is just pee-whipped. He says, Megan always looks hot, and standing next to her makes me feel like Beauty and the Beast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's how we feel when you stand next to her, too, Brian Austin
Green. I'm the alpha male now, you guys!
Speaking of weddings, it's official. Kelly Osbourne is a bride-to-be. Her fiancé, Luke Worrell, tells a British newspaper, The London Sun, that the couple is engaged, and he had to ask her father, Ozzy, for permission to wed. He said it was kind of scary, asking the Prince of Darkness for his daughter's hand in marriage, but everything was good after he got the okay. At least, I think that's what he said, Luke. It's hard to tell. He's so effing brain damaged.
He said that about his father-in-law?
Well, I added that part, but I'm just assuming that's what went down.
It's implied.
I thought that Kelly was, you guys are going to mock me for my choice of words here, but I thought she was delightful when she stopped by last week.
She was.
She's very personable, very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, charming. I thought she looked good. She sounded good. She's still too young to get married, but I enjoyed very much having her come by.
So you will give her permission to marry this guy or not?
Well, I prefer she waited a couple of years. I don't see what the rush is, but I wish her all the happiness.
So you're thumbs down.
I'm thumbs up if she's insistent on going forward.
All right. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Nadine Velasquez, she is 30 years old today. Joshua Gomez, who plays Morgan on Chuck, Chuck's best friend, he's 33 years old. Sendog of Cypress Hill is 43. Mike D of the Boys is 43 years old. Sean Young, crazy-ass actress, is 49. Bo Derek turns 52. TV personality and original host of The Family Feud, Richard Dawson, turns 76 years old today. Norman Greenbaum, author and singer of one of the greatest songs in the history of modern music, Spirit in the Sky, is 66 years old today. Give me a little Spirit in the Sky.
When I lay me down, going up to the Spirit in the Sky.
That's right.
Going up to the Spirit in the
Ladies.
Sky.
Ladies. That's right.
You know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
Come on. Gonna go to the place that's the best.
The children are right to laugh at you, Ralph.
Greatest ever. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And thanks to all of our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including actor Robert Pattinson. He plays Edward on the movie Twilight that opens up tomorrow. Also, thanks to the beautiful Sarah Silverman for coming by. Sarah Silverman and friends is going to be at the club Nokia.
Hey.
Thank you. That's going to be downtown L.A. tomorrow night with two big shows at 7 and 9:30. Get your tickets through Ticketmaster.com.
You know, they play that song when the Angels take the field, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Oh, is that right?
That's their theme song, Spirit in the Sky.
Because they're angels?
Yes.
Wow.
Nothing gets past you, Kevin Ryder.
How do they?
Ralph certainly has a lot of imagination.
Yeah, he
certainly
does.
Certainly do.
Don't forget, Miss Double December is going on through Monday night at midnight. And this afternoon, we have details for you on night number two of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. We made the announcement earlier this morning. Night number one is December 13th at Gibson Amphitheater.
I wonder when night number two will be.
No way to tell.
Saturday,
no
December
way
13th.
To tell.
Not related to that one, so.
Have to wait and find out. Could be February 8th for all you know. You just have to tune in and find out.
It's a second night. You don't know when. It could be a second night. It could be anything.
Right.
Night number one is The Offspring, Stone Temple Pilots, Rise Against AFI, Stained, 3 Days Grace, Slightly Stupid, and Hollywood Undead. And night number two, you will find out this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Kristen Stewart on the program from Twilight.
Yeah.
Enough with the Twilight, really.
We have a movie beat, as it is Friday morning.
There's Twilight again for you, Ralph.
There's Twilight.
Yeah. And we have a football player, and you'll be very happy to know, Ralph. Oh. We have Sean Merriman in for the San Diego Chargers.
One of the greatest defensive players in the history of the game.
In the studio tomorrow.
Until he got all jacked up.
Yeah.
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 But he'll heal.
Interesting
he'll
story.
He'll heal. That knee will fix itself right up.
So that's tomorrow morning.
Knees are
Kevin
one
Beach.
To do.
Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around for some Green Day? Also, Pennywise on the way, Angels and Airwaves, the new one from Paramore, Metallica, and more. Straight ahead, right after this on Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde on the world-famous K-Rock. That is the new one from Rise Against. That is a band that always delivers, and I'm sure they will be doing the same when they join us on stage Saturday night, December 13th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Kevin, they're one of the bands that's playing night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah, we made that announcement earlier this morning. At 7 o'clock, we announced night number one, December 13th, K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008, Hollywood Undead, Slightly Stupid, 3 Days Grace, Stained, AFI, Rise Against, Stone Temple Pilots, and The Offspring. That's not bad, right?
That's a good old-fashioned rock and roll show right there. That's awesome. No ticket information yet. That's all we have that we can tell you about night number one. But as you know from previous years, if there's a night number one, there has to be a night number two fast behind.
Each Christmas time in Hollywood, K-Rock has a show. Two drunken nights of holiday cheer. All the children want to go. K-Rock, almost acoustic Christmas.
Night 2.
Cat for Cutie.
I don't know if it's true. Gotta spend some time alone.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Paramore.
Franz Ferdinand.
Take me out.
Scott Weiland. Snow Patrol. Vampire Weekend. And The Cure. Acoustic Christmas 2008, May 2, Sunday,
December 14th,
Gibson Amphitheater. Keep listening for the on-sale info.
Proceeds benefit Padre Los Niños, thanks to the bands and their labels.
K-Rock.
So there you go.
Huh, I might go to that.
How about that?
Yeah.
You're thinking?
I'm thinking.
Night number 2 is the 14th of December. It's the night after night number 1. We thought we'd do it different this year.
Surprise!
Gibson Amphitheater, Vampire Weekend, Snow Patrol, Scott Weiland solo.
Yeah.
Paramore, Franz Ferdinand, Death Cab for Cutie, The Killers, and The Cure.
Wow.
Dude.
That's a show.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Paramore is going to be there. That means I have to be there, too, because I love them so much.
That's Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, who loves them and wears the fingerless gloves. Oh, and yeah. He has Paramore sunglasses as well that I stomped on and tried to get rid of.
Good for you.
Didn't do any good. He has like Lisa 15 pair.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Is it true that you, again this year, if are we doing the promotion where if listeners see you on the street, you have Acoustic Christmas tickets in your panties, they should just try to get them?
Yeah,
are we still doing
just,
that?
Just try. Mm-hmm. Just go for it.
But she
just tackle you.
She doesn't want to mention it or bring anything up about it. Just,
this is the only time we're going to say it.
Okay.
Either you heard it or you didn't.
Okay.
That's it.
Right. It's part of the thrill for Lisa is to pretend she doesn't want you to go for it.
I run
really
away.
Does.
I scream.
No,
it's
no,
really
no.
Funny.
I don't
no,
have
no,
any
no.
tickets.
If there's one thing I've learned in the years I've been dating, it's that no means yes. All right. Here's the thing. Again, The Cure, The Killers, Death Cab for Cutie, Franz Ferdinand, Paramore, Scott Weiland solo, Snow Patrol, Vampire Weekend. That's your lineup for night number 2, December 14th at the Gibson Amphitheater. All in all, it sounds like a pretty cool weekend, and more details are coming soon, including ticket information. Just keep on listening to good old K-Rock. Here's what I love about the Acoustic Christmas shows that we do every year, and this is a perfect example. The Gibson Amphitheater, The Cure could sell that place out 30 nights in a row if they wanted. Yep. And they're not only playing night number 2 for us on December 14th, but they're the headliner on a huge bill that also includes The Killers and Death Cab for Cutie and Franz Ferdinand, Paramore, Scott Weiland, Snow Patrol, Vampire Weekend. Any of them could sell that place out. They're all playing in one night. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. Remember last time The Cure played K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas? How come I can't say that now? And Robert Smith went over to Dave the King of Mexico's room.
Remember yes, that? Ended up in Dave's room for the after party. I do remember
and
that.
And Omar, who's the hugest Cure fan ever, was passed out drunk in a parking lot, and Dave couldn't get a hold of him. And Robert was just hanging out and drinking and having fun. Oh, it's the best.
Good times. Got the rematch coming up the weekend of December 13th. All the details on the announcement if you missed it at krock.com. And, of course, tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we start giving away tickets.
By the way, also go to the website. You can click on it, and there are all kinds of photos and band updates. Lightning has put together a tremendous amount of information there, videos, all kinds of stuff from the bands that are going to be playing K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
This is Kevin and Bean, Cinco Della Tarde. Anyone use the Gmail? I know it's very popular with a lot of people. A lot of people sure. Like the Google Mail. Do you use that at all, Kevin?
Sure.
Oh, that's fantastic. Then perhaps you are aware of the new test phase feature that they have in the beta mode on the Gmail right now that is called Mail Goggles.
Oh, I have seen about this. I have not used it, no.
Male goggles is a play on the phrase beer goggles, which means that basically you may not be operating at full mental capacity after you've had a few, like on Friday and Saturday nights, and you get home and then you start thinking about that girl that you have a crush on and maybe you should send her an email, and then the next day you wake up and go, oh my God, what did I do?
Right.
Well, what they've done with the male goggles is they give you math problems. If this is activated, when you sign on to use your email, it gives you – here's an example of some of the math problems that it has. It's that time of day. Gmail aims to help you in many ways. Are you sure you want to send this email? Answer some simple math questions to verify. 723 minus 131 equals, for instance. You have to
no
figure
kidding.
That out before you can use your email program.
What if you can't do that when you're not drunk?
Well,
you're never emailing.
That's right. 45 divided by 5 is, 11 times 8 is, 10 times 10 is. And then it has a reflexes meter that shows you how fast you should be answering these questions and then how fast you are indeed. And if you fail, then you don't get to send email.
What?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
So you can you type the email and it just won't send it unless it gets the okay from the math problem?
That is absolutely what it does. And it's funny that Kevin is pretending that he doesn't know how it works because, Kevin, the K-Rock microphones have been there. And we know for a fact that you've already tried to use the male goggles feature on Google and that it hasn't worked out that well for you late at night.
Oh, my God.
I need fire off a letter to Bean. Okay. Answer questions before you can write. Okay. How much is 2 and 2? 22. Oh, come on! That's so obvious, easy! I have to write Bean. Oh, alright. How do you divide 20 apples among 10 people? You make applesauce. Everybody gets to eat them. Oh, come on, stupid computer questions. How many innocent people are in jail if one man is guilty? Now all of them are guilty. All of them should be put in the guilty jar and never with the come lid off. Oh. I need the right bean. How many Ducks fans are long time them? All them? Come on, Google. Oh, I can't. I have to write Bean and tell him I love him.
I like this feature. It prevents me from getting those emails.
Play night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Scoots Christmas 2008. You can go to krock.com for all the details. We made the announcement about a half hour ago. The Killers, The Cure, a whole bunch of bands. What?
Almost Christmas.
I can't say that word, those words without sounding drunk, can I?
Well, not when you're drinking like you are.
Yeah.
No.
He's on the Google Mail. That's what's going on. Hey, Mike, what about your tribute band Meth Lab for Booty? Are they playing also or just
no.
the originals for this show?
Unfortunately, we didn't get the invite.
That's too bad.
Okay. All of the details at krock.com. And tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we start giving away tickets at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning right here on the World Famous K-Rock. It's Thursday afternoon. Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, and Ralph's got the showbiz beat for New Day. What's happening?
You guys are honked up
in a lot of ways.
Well, the gays are upset.
Because
at
Prop 8? Whole Prop 8 thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, of course, you've seen the protests.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're starting to band together and hit them where it hurts, the entertainment industry. Because, you know, there would be no entertainment industry if you took the gays out of it.
Wait a minute. True. Hold on a second here, Ralph. Lance Bass is still on Dancing with the Stars. They can't have it all.
What they'd like now, because they're not too fond of the Mormons, who pretty much funded the campaign to vote yes on Prop 8, is they've petitioned Robert Redford to move the Sundance Film Festival out of Utah.
Out of Sundance?
Yes.
Interesting.
Which is
in what are the chances
Utah.
That will happen?
None. Chances?
Yeah.
But they're making a big stink of it. Entertainmentweekly.com, the entertainment news website, has a big story on the potential Sundance boycott by some organized gay rights groups and the fact that they're already starting to feel some pressure. So, I don't know. It may be interesting to see if things change regarding that film festival.
The California Supreme Court did agree to hear this, so yeah. It's going back to the courts.
And they'll vote yes again, then they'll put it back on the ballot to take it off again, and this will be the never-ending cycle.
You're an abomination!
You'll be able to get married if you're gay about 4 months out of the year here in California.
There'll be a vote, and then...
1, 2, 3, go!
Medical marijuana as well will change about every 6 months.
They are smart, though, Ralph. I mean, I don't know if it'll be successful or not, but they are smart to realize that money is really how decisions get made by most companies these days. They don't really change it for social reasons as much as they change it for business reasons.
And look, Utah makes a lot of money by the Sundance Film Festival being there every year. It drives an enormous amount of tourist dollars to that state, so something may happen. We'll have to wait and see. But an interesting website, anyway. MoveSundance.com is the site.
They want to move the whole city?
No, just the Sundance Film Festival, I think they're talking to. So you can check it out yourself, if you're so inclined.
You make money promoting sin!
Well, yeah. That's my job.
By the way, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
I have heard that.
Our marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
That should be the final word on it because it rhymes. And if you can rhyme something, then you should be able just to.
It does rhyme. Go. People are too happy with that rhyme, though, I think.
Yeah. Anne Hathaway doesn't have a lot of luck finding men.
Oh, no. What happened now?
She's crazy.
According to the New York Post, her new boyfriend, actor Adam Schulman, who she's just started seeing, was known as an opportunist. When he was at Brown University, according to friends.
Uh-oh.
When he was at Brown, he went after all the heiresses.
Uh-oh.
He used to try to get close to them and then soak them for their money, try to live off of them.
Her last boyfriend was the scam artist dude?
Yes. He went to jail, yeah.
Yeah. A friend tells the New York Post, it's like Anne's addicted to losers.
Wow.
So.
It's hard to argue at this point.
It is. She doesn't have a great track record.
She fell apart when her sister Rachel got married, too. That's when she really just started turning to just an ugly, bad
person. Well, she was just out of
person.
Rehab. Oh, I don't know what they expected.
It's tough for her. I understand.
Once again, a movie that no one has seen.
Yeah,
either way.
I don't even get the reference.
No, you wouldn't, Kevin, because it's a tiny little boutique movie that only Lisa and Bean have seen.
Rachel Gets Married.
In all of Southern California.
It's really, really good.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Bean, really?
Yep.
Bean.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Absolute pure genius.
Come on.
Fabulous.
Thank you very much.
Stand up and applaud.
Not good.
This one is top of the charts.
No.
No one saw it. That is exquisite. That is orgasmic.
Okay.
Mozart-like. It's just pure perfection.
Take it easy.
Beautiful. All the chemicals are bubbling. No. And all the equation comes out right in the end.
I don't know what that means.
No. Appreciate that.
Robert Pattinson.
Yes.
Rob Pattinson.
We talked to him this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Is set to become one of Hollywood's newest It Boys after starring in the new vampire movie Twilight, which opens up, I guess, technically at midnight tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
The screening.
Yeah.
That's right. Sure.
He tells Seventeen magazine that he found it terrifying to kiss a girl on screen.
What?
He'd rather be barking like a seal.
Terrifying.
Especially considering he hadn't puckered up with anyone in a while.
Hmm.
It's terrifying.
Really?
It's terrifying being a sexy vampire. Scary. Apparently he and Jason Rathbone, who plays...
That's what I used to name my penis, by the way, in high school.
Jacob, I guess. He said they enjoy playing music together, those two fellas. Yeah, I bet they do.
All right.
They've been in an open mic night.
Oh, for God's sake.
I don't think these are all euphemisms.
Well, you can make anything sound dirty.
Well,
how you
filming
do
the movie, and he said all four of cast members jumped up on stage and jammed all night long. Jamming with Rathbone, by the way, is one of the nights down at Rage.
That's a good night.
Remember, tonight is jamming with Rathbone. What are you doing?
I hope they don't try
Psycho
to play
Mike
Utah.
Is literally spitting out a stomach worth of water over here in the corner.
What's happening?
What's going on?
That's ugly.
Jim Morrison, legendary lead singer for the classic 60s rock band The Doors, is going to be honored on December the 8th, which would have been his 65th birthday.
Isn't he dead?
He is well dead.
Hmm.
But to celebrate, Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger, the keyboardist and guitarist for The Doors, will be at Barney's Beanery in West Hollywood, one of my favorite all-time watering holes in the Southland. They're going to unveil a plaque that will be dedicated to Jim Morrison there at the bar. The spot will be where Jim peed all over the bar. Once when he was loaded drunk, he stood up on his bar stool and relieved himself on the bar, and then was quickly escorted out of the building by security.
That's something that you want to point out to people who come in?
Well, I guess it's just indicative of what a wild man Jim Morrison was.
Doesn't seem sanitary, though,
They thought it?
It
would be appropriate.
All right.
Got a lot of beers there at Barney's Beanery. They have a book of beers.
They
like,
do.
It's like 200 yeah. beers they've got available. Oh, I love that place.
And
I'm going to go buy and peel over the bar.
Robert Krieger works there anyway, so it's convenient for him.
Oh, because his career hasn't been nearly as good as when he was with the Doors.
Yeah. Wow.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Nadine Vasquez from My Name Ooh. Is Earl. She's 30 years old today. Joshua Gomez, who plays Chuck's best friend, Morgan, on the TV series Chuck. He is 33. Sendog of Cypress Hill turns 43. Did I say Joshua Gomez was 43? He's 33.
Oh, okay.
Sendog of Cypress Hill is 43. Mike D of the Beast Boys is 43. Sean Young turns 49 years old today. I think she's in rehab.
Is she?
Again.
She's crazy.
Constantly.
She's a prime candidate for season 3 of Celebrity Rehab with Dr.
Oh, yeah.
Drew.
There you go.
Bo Derek turns 52. Richard Dawson, who was the original host of Family Feud, was also on a classic sitcom called Hogan's Heroes. You don't see many sitcoms about Nazi Germany and World War II anymore.
That are comic.
You don't see a lot of sitcoms.
That's true,
yeah,
comedy.
You don't see a lot of situation comedies regarding the Nazis.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know why. They were a funny bunch. He is 76 years old today. And singer Norman Greenbaum, who you may know as the singer-songwriter of the theme song for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Spirit in the Skies, played every time they take the field. Uh-huh, that's right. He's got the clap going. Go to the place that's the best, man.
Ralph, make your point.
Gotta have a friend in Jesus, says Norman Greenbaum. I always wondered, why is that guy with the most Jewish-sounding name in pop music singing about Jesus?
That's a good question.
I'd like to ask him that on his birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in for today's Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. Believe it or not, nonstop Kevin and Bean on K-Rock these days. We will be back with an all-new show tomorrow morning, and I understand we got a good one.
We do. We have Kristen Stewart from Twilight. We're going to talk to her tomorrow.
Great.
We have a Movie Beat. Ralph will tell you about all the movies that he hasn't seen. And we have Ask an NFL Player tomorrow. We actually have Sean Merriman.
Oh, that's quite an NFL player to ask, too.
San Diego Chargers in the studio.
Interesting.
How about
Fantastic.
That? Yeah. So that's tomorrow morning. Cool.
Plus, starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, we start giving away tickets to the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. Both nights, night number one and night number two. If you've just tuned in and missed the details, we'll repeat them for you shortly, and you can get them at krock.com. Stick around for 40 minutes of nonstop K-Rock music coming up next, including Franz Ferdinand. They're going to be playing the show. Also, Paramore, Vampire Weekend, Snow Patrol, The Offspring, Foo Fighters, so much more right after this on K-Rock.